Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
What do you again? All the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Well, host a new host.
Annual
meeting of
the big one, International Preservation Society, tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy.
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls, they're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
What do you say?
How the hell did they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my big fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Can I hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys! Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's a great day here at Gillette Stadium. A great week. The vultures have been shooed away for another week. All those people lining up to declare the end of a dynasty, they're going to have to wait at least another 7 days because...
Where were all those people?
Patriots beat the Falcons.
Where were all those people?
They're all on this show, on all the shows that you listen to.
I have a better question.
Everybody lining up to be able to say, I was the first one that said that they were going to do blah, blah, blah.
I have a better question, though, Andy. Fred.
Yeah.
The end of the dynasty?
Yeah.
How can a dynasty end when you claim it never started?
Oh, good point.
I'm not talking for myself.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking for
others. Because Andy and I think it was a dynasty.
This. Hold on. I got a problem here with this. This is the computer we need to have work. That's EEI's computer.
You are a magician, though. You did a fine job. You went from off the air just dropping F-bomb after F-bomb to, great day at Gillette Stadium. Everything's fine. The dynasty's alive.
No, I that's a problem here. The computer can't get on the internet.
It's called keeping the real problems separate from the on-air problems.
I was worried you were going to just go right into F-bombs on the air.
Well, you know, it could happen.
I know. I've heard it before.
Anyway, this is a great day, not just because the Patriots beat the Falcons, the mighty Falcons.
Are you now mocking the Falcons?
No, I'm not.
They're a young, up-and-coming team.
No,
a nice little...
The Falcons are a good team. I'm mocking all the people that thought it was doomsday on Sunday. That's who I'm mocking. The other thing is this morning we launched the new Patriots desk site that people can download, which will allow you to get high-quality video right to your desktop if you have a PC.
Sorry. Sweet!
Sorry, Mac users right now. But
Brian Lowe's show, too, right?
Right.
Not just high quality video.
Actually, you can get this show 20, you know, we're streaming radio 24 hours now. So you can link right to the radio show right from the desk site. It's pretty cool. So go to patriots.com. You can't miss it. It's everywhere today. And download it to your PC and start getting our video sent right to you.
High definition.
High definition. Very high.
Very high, sort of high, kind of high.
Better than you can get. On a normal computer. So.
It's getting worse by the minute.
Then that's when I smoke it.
It's pretty cool.
But it's a good step. I said to you, with all these TVs, every time you read a TV now, it says internet ready.
I
don't really know what that means or how you do it.
Right.
My guess is out of the box, I couldn't. But You can go to Patriots.com and get all the video.
That's right.
Paul Perillo.
Paul Perillo?
In HD, pasty quality.
Yeah.
White as ever. He's too busy with an Italian right now.
I have a good one for you.
Yeah.
My son.
Good. I can eat now.
My son yesterday, Will, he's 4 years old. He says to my wife, how come we don't see Andy on TV as much? Okay. His dad.
It's a great question,
Will.
So
Ben said, no, he's always on TV with dad and Fred. And then he goes, what about Squidward? Squidward, of course, is Eric.
That's right. Where is Eric, by the way?
He's off on Tuesdays.
He's off on Tuesdays.
Yeah, he comes in on Monday. Andy and I take Monday off. He comes in, does.
He's off on Sundays too.
Well, that's a good point, but that's up to you.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, Andy, Paul, and Fred are here. Doc's in the booth. We got an IT guy running around trying to get the computer going. So, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. I'm assuming at some point we'll be able to take emails. And for now, Doc is printing them out and handing them to me. It's like, you know, bulletins.
Each one's going to be breaking news. You're going to shake each one.
It's just in.
Are you screening these the way I screen?
Yes.
You screen
exactly
them?
The way you screen them.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. In case you want to call, that might be recommended today, unless we get this computer fixed. So,
you're not going right to emails. On the day when we don't have the ability to get emails, why are you going right to emails 9 minutes into the show?
I'm not going right to
emails. We usually go to 35 past
I'm just letting people know you might want to call today.
So, and one at a time.
The IT guy shaking his head, yes.
We might get to the phone quicker since I have to hold up the sign for Fred since we can't read the
chat
today.
Don't have your little Google
log into the Google talk. So
the Google talk. So let's talk about the game then, Fred, since we can't talk about emails.
Yeah.
You're not focused.
No. I got somebody.
Everybody got what they wanted. The offensive line wanted it. The fans wanted it. We wanted it. They ran the damn football and proved they can run the damn football, at least against a slightly overmatched Atlanta front that was without, how do you say, Paul, have we decided? Pariah Jerry, who was obviously, I know he's young, but was a key to their run defense, a big body in the middle.
Right.
They were without him, but, clearly Bill challenged them to run the ball, and it was funny. I think Steve Anil kind of let a little bit of rare personality and insight slip from him. He's usually pretty measured. Somebody said, Brady only sacked, wasn't sacked at all in 42 attempts. And he goes, 42 attempts? Not 50 this week? All right.
Yeah.
And I think that was, Mankin said it. We had the opportunity to run the ball. We showed we can do it.
Well, I gave the game ball to the offensive line. Because you think
and
about
they were
it,
very appreciative of the Fred Kirsch game
168
ball.
Yards on the ground. Not a penalty against any of them. And not a sack with 42 attempts. That's pretty much a perfect
they
game by an offensive
well.
Line.
They played very well, and I thought Fred
your
Taylor,
guy, Matt Light deserves kudos because I don't care whether Atlanta blitzed or not. You had an all-pro lining up across from him, and I didn't say the all-pro's name at all. I didn't say Matt Light's name at all. He didn't give anything up. Matt Light, a high note.
I totally agree with Andy. You know, we talked about Light a lot last week. He was outstanding in this game because, like Andy said, they don't blitz. They only rush four. And the reason they only rush four is because they think John Abraham can get there. And he not only didn't get there, he never came close to getting there.
Yeah.
I know he wasn't by himself all day, Light. I know they, you know, I heard Chris Baker talking yesterday on WEEI. He was part of a two tight end package that frequently was helping out Matt Light. But I watched, and Andy watched on more than one occasion, and he locked him up and really neutralized him. Didn't give an inch all day. That was huge, I thought, on the offensive side. And Fred Taylor, I thought, was outstanding.
He was outstanding.
Because I don't think there were huge holes that he was running through.
No,
I thought he was maximizing space and yardage.
You can see the difference between Fred Taylor and Lawrence Maroney. Fred Taylor doesn't look as big as Maroney, but he runs harder. His legs are churning. Even after he gets spun around, he's always taking that one extra step that'll get it in that couple extra yards. You know,
he makes his cuts moving forward.
Yeah, he's just more.
When he cuts, when he dances, somehow he's dancing forward for 2 yards. And he tried to doubt. He gave all the credit to the O-line. He said, when they asked him about different things, I wish they were up here because they fired out. They did it all big holes. My job was to run straight, especially that I think it was 41 yards on four straight carries, ended in the touchdown, the 8-yard touchdown. But you're right. He ran well, and it doesn't sit well for Lawrence Maroney to not only not run the same way, but then leave the game with a thigh injury.
Right.
It's just the frustration continues with him.
I know. Well, I hope Lawrence was watching. Now, did he come back out of the locker room for the second half?
Maroney? I don't believe so.
No?
No.
I know Wilfork didn't.
And then they went, because they went to the kickoff. Taylor got most of the carries. Falk was in the game, and on kickoffs, they had Falk
Edelman.
And Edelman back.
Edelman, right.
So I don't believe Maroney returned.
Oh.
So just...
It's just, you know...
Frustration.
It really is.
I kind of feel bad for him, because I'm not going to say, oh, he wasn't hurt. It's just... It doesn't look good.
No, but there is something to that whole thing where some guys just always get injured.
Are you hurt or are you injured?
Right.
And can you play? Can you not play? What can you go through?
Yeah.
There's no question, but frustration is the only word.
It really is.
To talk about it. Now, I think the other side of the ball is the opposite of frustration. It's you're seeing positives, and again, for the second time in 3 weeks, they clearly targeted something on the opposing offense and took it away. The first week, it was the deep passing game with T.O., and Lee Evans, two deep safeties the whole day. This weekend it was, we're not going to let Tony Gonzalez beat us. There's going to be double coverage, McGowan safeties, brackets, everything. And a guy who's caught a ball 135 straight games caught one pass for 16 yards. That came late. They didn't even really try to go to him at all.
Yeah.
And I think that's another positive. I'm not going to say, oh, the defense is great. We have no worries on that side of the ball. But they've been good enough to allow this team to win games so far.
You know, and they did it without Will Hite playing, as yep. we know. So really, Bodden and Springs were the only dependable cornerbacks out there. Well, you know, Wheatley was.
And Wheatley played. He was not a problem.
He wasn't a problem.
He struggled a little early, but I thought he settled in after that. And don't forget, you lost Vince Wilfork, basically the balance of the day. He got hurt in the first quarter.
Right.
So they stopped the running game with Michael Turner. I thought they stopped it cold. 15 for 56. Right. I think you'll take that any day.
Right. And he's a load.
He really is.
As Mike Wright pointed out when he got one of his Nantucket sleigh rides dragged down the field.
Did you read the quote that he hadn't?
Yeah.
I mean, that's as I found
I
out.
Mike
he's,
Wright.
He's a very powerful man. He talked about Michael Turner. I thought defensively that was the second half of that game was the first time that I've seen the defense this year. I know there's been a lot of talk. They only scored 17 in the first game, 16 in the second game. They're doing great and this and that. The second half of this Atlanta game was the first time I saw a defense that went out and stopped the other team. It wasn't the other team missed opportunities. They went out and forced three and outs because they were better. And it wasn't a lot of pressure. They covered. They stopped the run on early downs, and they covered on passing situations. For whatever reason, you know, Atlanta kept rolling out Matt Ryan in the second half. I don't really think that was a bright move.
And aggressively rolling him out, not just
Patriots
moving the pocket.
Patriots had that covered.
Sprinting towards the line, towards the sideline. Guys are covered. He's running out of room. He just has to throw it away. The play's over. I mean,
yeah.
kind of giving away plays, it felt like.
It's nice to see that. It's nice to see, finally, you know, a quarterback not have an option when he goes back to pass.
Yes.
Because too often, and even in that first half.
Oh, the whole first half.
You know, we were like, oh, look at the cushion that they're getting.
Right. It was too easy in the first half. And then it was too easy, I thought, in the first drive of the third quarter. They went right down the field. And then they got... You know, what I think was somewhat questionable on the offensive pass interference to take away the touchdown, but that was it. From that point on, it was total domination by the Patriots' defense, and that was greatly enhanced by the offense getting in gear and holding the ball for so long, too. It was a 40-20 time of possession, but the defense, it wasn't like the defense was allowing three first downs and then giving the ball back to the offense. It was three and out, three and out, three and out. It was really impressive.
And it's kind of amazing. In one way, they're doing it with all-team defense.
Yes.
You know, we talked about early in the year it might take a while to come together, different talented guys on different pages. It's all-team defense. You're not getting a ton of turnovers. You had the one forced fumble recovery. You're not getting any sacks, any real pressure on the quarterback, no picks yet this year.
It's just
all-team defense.
To me, that's more impressive. I think
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We thought it would take a while that you'd have a Lee Bodden pick here or a Brandon Merriweather pick or a big hit there. You're not getting those kinds of plays. You're just getting – decent team defense across the board, front to back, stopping the run, stopping the pass, you know, enough pressure, I guess, at times to, you know, allow Matt Ryan, you know, force Matt Ryan to kind of throw it away while rolling out.
Right.
It's pretty impressive.
And the
if it can continue, I don't know, but it's impressive right now.
And the more you look at other defenses around the league, you have to say, you know, we're not that bad, you know, because there's a lot of defenses. And we're going to talk about the Ravens. As good as they are up front and, you know, through the linebackers, you know, they're 29th in the league against the pass. You know, every team has holes somewhere.
Because their secondary is terrible.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. Every team has
holes. But
their
defense isn't very good. I mean, that's...
Well, I think they've only given up 50 yards on the ground.
Well, I know, but they gave up a lot of points, except for this week when they played nobody.
Right. But I'm just saying...
The first two games, they gave up a lot of points.
You know, every team... We talked about this at the beginning of the season. It's tough to be you know, 22 deep. And usually it's against the pass where a team will have the least amount of depth, you know, because teams can spread you out. It's such a passing league. So, you know, when you compare what we're doing so far against most of the other teams, it's not that bad.
Well, I just can compare it against ourselves, and I don't think I would use the same thing. It's not that bad. I agree with what Andy said, and I'm more impressed. I think that when you can come up with stops, and I know it sounds foolish, but like when you turn a team over, that's not, to me, not necessarily coming up with a stop. That's, you know, you made a play, and that's the huge. Turnovers are huge, don't get me wrong, but I'd almost rather see, I mean, if you can mix in the turnovers, that's great. But I like the, you know, the forcing punts is when you put three good plays together.
Right. That's
it's an, not you gave
the
up
other team didn't
and
screw
11
up.
Guys.
Yes.
Yeah, the other team didn't
11
screw
guys
up.
Putting
that's my
three
point.
Plays together, you know, not it, two guys making a you know, if you get an edge rusher and a safety, ridiculous pressure, and then a pick, well, that's two guys. For all I know, the rest of the team was crapping their bed on that very play. But we don't have that. We have 11 guys making plays.
Yeah, and I don't want to make it sound like I don't want to force turnovers. I mean,
right.
Obviously, I'll force a turnover every possession if we can. But
if you
it's
play
a dangerous
defense,
way
you're
to
gonna
live.
Get them. You're going to get them sooner. If you play solid, you're going to get turnovers.
And you mentioned before that game, Atlanta's defense, we looked at it. We said, I don't know how this deep. Before, this is before the game started. I don't know how Atlanta's going to stop the Patriots all day. They look like they're small. They're one of those smaller, faster units. We remembered Mike Smith from his Jacksonville days. He definitely subscribed to the let's rush four and drop seven or eight into coverage and see if we can maybe make it harder for Brady. That doesn't work against the Patriots, and we know that doesn't work against the Patriots. So we didn't think there was any chance they could stop him. And Andy said, well, what this defense does, it's not very good, but it comes up with a lot of plays. It'll turn you over. And I think that's very accurate. I think Andy hit the nail right on the head. That's what happens when you can't force any, is
right.
You can't get off the field.
They will have ridiculously good days throughout the course of the season at times.
That said,
that's a dangerous way to live, is to say, I'm gonna create 30, 35 turnovers this year, and that's why my defense is going to be good, because that just comes and goes.
That said, shouldn't we be hearing Derek Burgess' name a little bit more?
Did he even play?
Oh, yeah.
He played first play of the game, and I don't remember seeing him again.
He was out there, but I'm just not seeing, you know, anything for him now.
Nothing.
Maybe he's forcing the play a different way. Maybe he's sealing his edge and he's doing a good job there. I don't know. Maybe, you know, when they're grading the film afterwards, he's getting, you know, high grades. But a guy like
him.
Have
you seen him once get the edge? Once. I haven't.
I don't know.
And I can't imagine the game plan is for him to never get the edge.
I'll take that back. I did mention early in the game. Remember I said there was a game where he got off his block and he strung out a play wide, and I said, oh, that's a good play by Burgess.
No, but I mean get the edge as a pass rusher.
I've got to find
it hard
not
to believe that
rusher.
The game plan is never for him to get in the backfield, get near the quarterback. And I just don't see it. You know, we've kind of joked that, you know,
Coke.
Bobby Hamilton used to be a guy that in his pass rush moves never really moved.
Right. Like
he kind of always took place in front of the tackle.
Right.
That's how Burgess is right now.
I can honestly say Prescott Burgess made as many plays as Derek Burgess as a Patriot.
That's true.
No,
Prescott Burgess, we know.
You think the new turd will make more?
You think he'll come back?
No, he did make one play, Burgess, that early in the game that I commented on, that he did a nice job releasing from his block and getting the guy wide for like a 1-2 yard gain.
I know Bill promoted him as a good two-way player. I was looking at him to rush the quarterback when he came here, and I haven't seen
him. The other guy, and he probably did more than I saw, Adalys Thomas. What kind of, you know?
Well, he made the one really big play on the quick screen for a 4-yard loss. But I really think that the absence of Mayo has sort of put the linebacking crew, I think, in a kind of conservative mode. I don't think you can do a whole lot of things with Adalys Thomas right now, because I think you need to him. I think you need to play it safe.
How about stay on the field?
Yeah, he's not
coming off the field.
He's not playing every down, which is very surprising to me.
Yeah.
He misses two games in a row. I've noticed him coming off the field quite often on third down.
Now, Guyton had a solid game, I guess. You know, it's again, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, he made some tackles.
But he was in there making tackles.
Missed some.
You know.
I just think the defensive line has really played at a high level all three games.
Yeah, I mean, Pryor has leapfrogged over Brace, you know, as far as their draft status.
And evidently that started early in camp, because first preseason game when we saw Pryor as one of the starters, he's been hurt a little bit too. And still has maintained a spot ahead of Brace. Now, you could argue they're not playing the same exact spot. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, from all that we heard about Brace, I would have thought that he'd be a candidate to go out there and replace Vince Wilfork.
Well, you
know. And he didn't play at all, by the way, in the game.
it's interesting, you know.
Thought he was going to get his chance, went out to the huddle, and then was asked to leave.
Yeah, I was thinking yesterday, I was listening to Belichick on EEI, and I was thinking, you know, someday he might write a book, you know, like a tell-all type of book, his memoirs or whatever.
You think he'll ask PFW to write it for him?
I don't know. But it would be interesting to get, you know, an honest take, you know, on some of his personnel likes and dislikes. And it'd be interesting to know, like, if with this Pryor and Brace situation where maybe Pryor's just trying harder in practice and he's being rewarded. And they know that Brace is more talented. But, you know, they're rewarding Pryor and maybe that's – they're hoping that, you know, Brace gets pissed off enough, you know, where he starts to pick it up. And I don't know.
You know,
he's earned it. No matter what, whatever it is, he's earned it.
It could be more than that too, Fred. Like, let's use the wide receiver situation because it's more of a tangible thing. You know, Joey Galloway has more talent than Sam Aiken or Terrence Nunn or whoever else, you know, is behind Joey Galloway. But he's not really sure exactly what he's doing right now, and he's admitted that. So I don't even feel like I'm taking unfair shots at him. He's openly admitted that the system has been very difficult for him to pick up. The system for the defensive lineman here is a little different, and maybe Myron Pryor is picking up his responsibilities a little bit easier than, you know, might not have anything at all to do. I'm sure Joey Galloway is working his tail off to try to pick up where he's supposed to go. I don't think he's dogging it. Andy, do you think there's any dog in that situation? I don't think that necessarily Ron Brace isn't working hard enough in practice. Maybe Myron Pryor has the techniques of two-gapping or hand placement or shoulder level, pad level and stuff, all the buzzwords that we hear Bill talk about. Maybe Pryor is just better technique-wise, not talent-wise, technique-wise, than Brace is, and that's why he's playing.
We should talk about the transaction just a little bit and the Will Fork injury. And
yeah, why don't you do that?
If possibly, I know the Boston Herald is reporting it's, you know, not a major injury with Will Fork, the sprained ankle, but the team did release Prescott Burgess and sign Terdell
Sands,
which is interesting. Paul and I both, he's 6'7". He's a defensive lineman, been in the league 8 years, last six with the Raiders, like 12 starts in 76 games. Made a few plays, you know, he's got a stat line, but one of those 12
career starts, I think.
Yeah, career backups that, you know, you never really know until he's on your team. But 6'7", 335 pounds, and if he is indeed insurance for Will Fork or those interior tackle spots, that's a tall guy to be playing defensive tackle, 6'7". I mean, that's taller than Seymour and moving inside, I would assume, full-time, especially with they're a 4-3 team now and the way they played everything. I do think they need some beef in there because I don't think Wright.
Went
next to Will Fork,
up.
Maybe Wright's good enough, kind of how we're talking about the defense. Wright and Pryor, all of a sudden, you don't get that respect for Will Fork. I think you're going down a slippery slope, and it won't be a good one.
I think he's played terrific, by the way, Mike Wright, in the first few games. I think he's played really, really well. I do have concerns, though, over a 16-game schedule of him holding up all the way. Because he's going to have to play. I mean, you know, with no Seymour, he's going to have to play a more regular role, and I don't know if he would be able to hold up.
Hey, Doc, what happened to the other guy that was on the phone from Baltimore? He hung up. All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Mike in Puerto Rico's on the line. We'll talk to him.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted,
what?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
Wow. You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am?
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got it?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member PIC. Copyright 2009 Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
Right, so no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football shape serving trays.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. We're back up online, and so everything's good. We've got the email back, so I can get the emails. The only problem right now is the fried dough. It's like cardboard.
Yeah, it was tough.
I've never had fried dough.
If you eat it backwards, it's not as bad. If you start at the edges, it's softer at the. It's actually pretty soft if you take one bite all the way around the edge.
That's right.
It was disappointing because it looked really good today.
I'll pass. Yeah, they put cinnamon on it.
Okay,
today,
well, I'm
going to
eat all the edges then.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pass on the fried dough today, which is good for
my
health.
Yeah, it'd be better for me.
You need to.
Anyway, webradio at patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. On the phone right now is Mike in Puerto Rico. Mike, how you doing?
I am doing well. How are you guys doing over there?
Great.
Much better this week, Mike.
Oh, I'll bet you. I got five questions for you guys.
Holy crap.
I can only promise three answers. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's. Okay.
Go.
What surprises you more, the defense keeping us in games or the offensive struggles?
The offensive struggles.
Offensive struggles.
Number two, go.
What depresses you more, Galloway's performance so far or the fact that Greg Lewis has already improved the Vikings by one win?
Galloway's performance
so
far.
Okay. Whose contribution has surprised you more, McGowan or Guyton?
McGowan.
Yeah, McGowan.
McGowan.
I was trumping up
I think McGowan's, Guyton. But I think McGowan's played much better.
Okay. And whose long-term absence will impact the defense more, Mayo or Wolfork?
Well, if Wolfork's out, yeah. According to Ian Rappaport, it's not serious.
It's going to be kind of hard to tell, though, since they'll both be out.
Yeah. I would say Wolfork, too.
Okay, and last but not least, what do you guys enjoy more, these close games like this year or the blowouts from 2 years ago?
Blowouts.
Yeah, blowouts.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not into being entertained. I just want to beat the hell out of everybody.
Okay. Oh, that's about it. The only thing, it's going to be an awesome game against Baltimore this week, and I guess we're all surprised, at least, from everything that you heard from the preseason. I'm actually catching up to some of the shows that I heard from that you guys did at the beginning of September. And it's funny because everybody kept thinking that it was going to be the offense winning its games while the defense caught up, and it's turning out to be the other way around.
That's why they play the games.
Yeah, and defense is keeping us in games and until the offense clicks, because you know eventually it's going to click.
I agree
hopefully.
With you.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I think the offense was pretty good Sunday. I mean, they held the ball for 40 minutes and had 450 yards.
On the curse words.
Yeah.
I just realized it because I don't know if you saw the comments that I sent you. There is such a big delay from what's happening on the field and what you're putting into the blog. That from actually watching on the screen, there's like a 30 to 45 second delay.
So which is faster?
Yours.
So you're hearing I'm talking about something that hasn't happened yet.
I know. I had to stop watching the blog because I would just, it'd be like knowing what's going to happen like 30 seconds from now, and it would be spoiling the game for a while.
That's going to get us in trouble at some point. You better stop that.
Oh, there's a stop, or so on and so forth.
Now,
but I don't know if it's me because I'm down in Puerto Rico. Or that's just a regular signal delay.
Yeah. Huh, that's interesting. Yeah,
it's like, I can't believe it. A touchdown. You know, I can't believe it.
If it was about a 10-second delay, I could see it. But you're saying it's about a half a minute?
More or less, maybe 20 to 30 seconds. Yeah.
Wow. That's significant.
Yeah, so I, at a certain point, I just had to stop watching. I would just go into it during the commercials because otherwise it was just spoiling the game.
Wow. That's the last thing I'd want to do for anyone.
All right. But
so I'll just be slower in my updates.
Keep it up, guys, and let's get pumped. Let's get Baltimore that first L.
Absolutely, we did it to Atlanta last week. We'll do it to Baltimore this week.
We might as well be spoilers for the rest of the year, right? Everybody that's got an undefeated record, we'll take them down.
That's right. Come on in,
guys.
See you, Mike.
All right, Mike in Puerto Rico checking in. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Spoiling the perfect record. It was kind of funny. We had an emailer right in yesterday saying this game against the Ravens is going to be our fourth straight game against an undefeated team. And we could play against an undefeated team against Denver, too, five straight. I'm like, wait a minute. You count the 0-0 Buffalo Bills as an undefeated
team?
Technically,
they were undefeated.
It's true.
It's right. Kind of funny.
Freddie, did you see your boy Richard Seymour?
Yeah, he's I guess
not
he got into a little thing
nice.
With
not playing well with others.
Yeah, but everything that's going on over in Oakland, it's ridiculous. You heard about the week before, right, with Rich Gannon? What happened with him?
What?
Obviously, Rich Gannon used to be a Raider, and now he's a commentator. And, you know, he came out, I forget where he said it, but he said that what they should do in Oakland is just blow the whole building up and start over. So
said by many people.
So their PR guy, who's a hothead, this guy Herrera, said, well, you know, Rich Gannon is still bitter because the worst game he ever played in his career was in the Super Bowl that we lost. You know, so that's why he
said it. That's the PR guy that you're looking for right there.
So that's why he said it. And he said, besides, I don't think, you know, using the phrase blowing a building is the right thing to be saying in this day and age,
oh,
you know.
Oh, God.
So,
that's
you know.
What Fred would have said.
So, you know, so that was that. And then the thing that happened this week with Richard Seymour. You know,
and these guys, this guy and then one other guy are Davis's right-hand man.
Right,
they're
right.
Not just in roles. They're like his sounding board.
No, it's ridiculous what's going on.
The Art of PR guys. He's just pissed because he sucked in the Super Bowl.
That's what he said.
That's unbelievable.
Now, is this the same
guy? That a high-ranking official
would
say
something like
that.
This is the same guy that accosted somebody in the media workroom down in Oakland.
About you and your smoking buddy, and he was like calling people out. And
something like that, but he, you know.
Clowns.
Yeah, it's not professional.
Not
professional.
At all. Although Seymour wasn't professional either, it doesn't sound like. First of all, to grab a guy's hair and get penalized for it, and then to tell a guy to go away when he asked
about
it.
Well, you know, I read the transcript. It's hard to really tell if Seymour was being unprofessional because basically.
He's a baby. He's been a baby here.
The guy said.
Michael Felger. I'll say the two words. Michael Felger. He wouldn't do a press conference, so Michael Felger
left.
No,
but the guy said something about, you know, is that something you should have had a problem with about the pulling. I forget the exact phrasing, and Seymour goes, yeah, you know, he just said, well, that's what happened, you know, next question. But the guy wouldn't let up.
Well, he asked to follow up.
You know.
He was looking for a quote on the incident and didn't really get one the first time.
Well, he wasn't going to answer that. So, you know, you're starting trouble if you insist on getting something that the guy's just not going to talk about.
Well, I don't think that's the way it works. I think plenty of people have said I'm not going to talk about it and talk about it later. I mean, as a reporter, that's.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not sure if it was totally Richard Seymour's fault.
And then
fault.
The other guy came in and threw gasoline on the
situation.
Well,
that was worse. That's
the PR guy.
PR guy?
Yeah.
That's where the PR guy needs to understand, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he said something like, I'm not sure what you did wrong, but you must have done something wrong, so he's not answering until you leave or something.
Right.
Like, he didn't even know the situation.
Right.
And he was, clowns.
Yeah.
So. While we're at controversy with expatriates, we might as well just go around the huddle and go to Rodney Harrison, who's now in his war of words with T.O.
Oh, boy.
He called him a clown,
and I aren't
as always.
Happy with Rodney.
No, this
I'm not either, because he's embarrassing himself personally, but...
What's up, Paul Perillo?
I think he's getting what he deserves. If he wants to be that guy, he's going to get fired back with what T.O. fired back with, and that's, you know, you took steroids.
Right.
I just would like to see him...
Which, by the way, T.O., come on. You're telling me you don't know where to receive them and haven't gotten received
that's
a shipment?
But the whole thing with Rodney, I think he could be really, really good in that role, you know, because he's clearly unafraid.
He still takes it personally, though.
But you know what I mean? He's clearly unafraid to criticize, and that's what you need. You need a guy with strong opinions.
Right.
But I think there's a better way. Like, the last part of what he said about T.O. to me was perfect. The first part is just he's trying to be like another the guy that's still in the locker room.
Right.
You know, and looking for the punchline joke. You know, he's just a clown. Well, that's not professional. That's not the way you're supposed to analyze. You know, say why you think he's a clown. Like he did. He said he's more concerned about his personal stats than the team's success. I think that's great, and I don't think enough of those guys talk like that. That's why I think he can be great. But I wish he would get away from this sort of schoolyard mentality where I'm gonna call you a name while I'm doing it.
Right.
Not that, I mean, I'm not offended by it or anything like that. I think it's funny and stuff like that. But I have so much respect for Rodney. I wish he would kind of get away from that
every
stuff.
Every week it seems like there's another guy.
That's what I mean.
That's the problem. I don't care what he says, but to me, if a guy says that enough, you then consider him a clown and know, what's coming
next.
Well,
now, in all fairness, though, the week before with Kerry Rhodes, with the Twitter thing, that wasn't Rodney Harrison.
Yeah, so, we talked about that, and Andy and I still aren't concerned, by the way, because the stuff that was on those Twitters, by the way, isn't that kind of what came out Sunday? Isn't that the same kind of thing? He's just a clown, you know? I mean,
so supposedly that's not Rodney Harrison.
I think that NBC might have said, listen, Rodney, we don't want you doing this stuff.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they do. I mean, it's certainly kind of fun.
No, I meant with a Twitter thing.
Oh, yeah.
Told them to cool it. Yeah. And then they came out with a thing that wasn't his account.
Right. No, it's certainly fun, you know, hearing and reading about this stuff. But at some point, it does become a little unprofessional.
I would rather listen to Rodney analyze that stuff than 95% of the other guys out there. I just think that he could maybe cool it a little bit with the, you know, the name calling and just get to, you know, get your opinions out there. I think he does a good job with that.
And if he wasn't an expatriate, people would be ripping him.
Oh, God.
Because just like they rip Michael Irvin or any of these other guys, he hates Michael, they hate this, they hate that. I mean, they'd be mocking him.
Right, and it's just like, you know.
Instead, it's refreshing.
I think a lot of times those players, they tend to circle the wagons around their own. You know, like you'll hear, you know, Deion Sanders and Michael Irvin, the guys you mentioned, Andy, they'll rally to the defense of T.O. and they'll ignore all the distractions that, you know, like right now Dallas is struggling on offense, right? I mean, they haven't really looked like a very good offense without T.O. Now, clearly they'd be a better offense with T.O., but also clearly they wouldn't be as good a team.
Right.
That was proven over the last couple of years. He can make plays for you and still hurt your team.
Right. It's not about statistics.
So, but those guys, you know, especially like the Michael Irvins and the Deons of the world, they'll look at it and say, you tell me they don't need T.O.? You look at this offense. Well, no, they don't. They're better off without him, and it's proven because he's been on three teams that have improved since he left them.
Right,
and that's what's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen, and Buffalo will be the next one. I mean, you talk about tick, tick, tick.
Right,
185 consecutive games with a catch got snapped on Sunday. What do you think it's going to be like by the time the Patriots get there?
Oh yeah,
tick, 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 tick.
Good stuff.
But
right.
I do love Rodney. I just wish he would get away from the name calling. And by the way, first thing I've seen from Tony Dungy on Sunday that was at all worthwhile listening to, because he's boring. He's dull as dirt. But he had the breakdown, Andy, of the game-winning touchdown from Favre to old friend Greg Lewis. And he had the telestrator out, and he was showing, this is something that teams work on, and my team's worked on. The last thing at practice Friday or Saturday was always 30-yard line. They have to get a touchdown. We got to defend it. We got to make sure. And he showed it on the telestrator, like the coach's angle, the over the top, the all 22, as they say. And he circles all the secondary guys. And there's like five or six guys, but they're all like almost in between the hash marks. They're all in the middle of the field. And he says, listen, there's no need to defend the middle of the field here. They can only do one of two things. They can throw a quick out for about 10 or 12 yards to try to get a little closer. There was 10 seconds left. They had no timeouts. Or they have to throw it in the end zone. So there's no need to have all of this personnel in the middle of the field. And it makes it your job is harder, you know, to fan out and get the guys covered. And Singletary had a great quote. Did you see that quote about Mark Roman, I think, was the safety that was closest? and someone said he was in good position, and he said he wasn't in good position. If he was in good position, he would have made the play.
Webradio, patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number on it. Right now is Jim from Texas. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, Fred, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Well, it was a beautiful win for him. I drove from Texas to Georgia during it, and I was on the phone with my dad the whole time. And well, I'll tell you one thing. A couple of observations. I'd like to throw my two cents into this discussion about the Patriots' defense.
Sure.
Okay. First of all, the secondary did a very good job of shutting down Gonzalez, and they did it without pretty much Wilhite. And I forget, they had two guys that didn't play in that game.
Butler.
Butler, yeah. That was certainly encouraging for me, anyways, as a fan of this team. And secondly, Guyton played a really solid game, led the team in tackles. I was very, very pleased about that, having looked up the stats later. But more importantly, though, ball control. They kept the ball for 40 minutes. And when they were throwing the ball all over the world and scoring a million points, it was generally about 50-50, if you guys remember the breakdown of that. So having your defense on the field for only 20 minutes at the end of the year could be very favorable.
It could be.
Especially for a late playoff run.
Yeah, but having said that, Jim, and you'll have to admit, 40 minutes, there's a lot of points they left on the board for having the ball for 40 minutes. It's all about scoring points, not time of possession.
And it killed them in the Jet game, too. I mean, they turned field goals two of them should have been touchdowns. Particularly that one that Edelman dropped on third down. It's like he catches that ball clean. Oh. And we're going to get six on that in that series.
Anytime you have a field goal that's inside 30 yards, you didn't do your job.
They had, I think, two 22s and a 23 on Sunday.
Yeah. And the longest was 33.
33 was the longest of the four.
But I would also say this, too, though. They have talent on offense. We all know that. We don't have to argue that. And Brady is getting better. And I still think that the best football for this offense is yet to come.
No question.
Without a doubt. But it encouraged me the most is they have a legitimate running game for the first time. I can't think of how long. It's like
20
carries, 100 yards. Boy, I tell you what, that makes a life a lot easier.
No, it does. It's certainly.
Andy, give out the numbers again.
I believe it was 22-78 they rushed for last year. So they had a running game last year. Just because it's not one guy.
22-78, exactly.
Just because it's not one guy, we forget. That was a good rushing
attack.
Listen,
last year they rushed for 4.4 yards a carry. And 21 touchdowns last year. They had a very, very good running game last year.
Okay, well, I'm wrong. You guys are right. My bad.
See, the thing is, it doesn't seem that way because we don't have that feature back who's getting 1,200 yards plus a year. So it doesn't seem that way.
You don't even have the same guy. I mean, last year it was Sammy Morris was kind of the lead back, but you had Maroney early in the year. Then you had Ben Jarvis Green Ellis came in, had, I think, 5 or 6 rushing touchdowns, had a 100-yard game, and it was spread. Lamont Jordan had at least one game where he was good. Falk had some carries. I mean, there was a lot of diversity there, and that makes it seem less. I mean, okay, Randy Moss had 23 touchdowns. If you have 6 guys with 4 touchdowns, well, that passing game doesn't look as good, but you still scored the 23 touchdowns.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, my friend, is they were never all healthy at once. I mean, there was the beginning of the year, I want to say somebody was out for 2 or 3 games. And then when he came back, like a week prior,
that is true.
They were never together.
They were never all healthy together last year.
They were never. And
until the very end.
You might be reaching that point now. With Maroney banged up, you might be getting into that phase of the season
this
year.
Healthy. I mean, honestly, it's like I didn't expect anything coming into the season with him anyways. And if he's hurt again, all that means is Ben Jarvis Green is going to be on this team. Lawrence Maroney will be on the IR and out the door at the end of the year. You know, he's even when he ran hard. I mean, he looked good at times, but again, he is what he is. I mean, he's been here for however many years, and it's the same story every year. If he carries the ball more than 50 times in 3 games, then he's hurt.
Yeah,
so,
I think he's looked okay so far.
Yes.
I'm just frustrated that he's
hurt. But Jim said that, too.
I would think he'd put him just on kickoff return and just do that. And if he did a good job on that, I'd be totally thrilled. But that aside, though, guys, I mean, what do you think of our chances going forward against Baltimore? Looking ahead.
Solid.
Well, I'm
really looking forward to the game. I think it's going to be a good game.
I am, too. I'll be driving back and forth from Georgia to Texas.
How long does that take you, Georgia to Texas?
It took me 13 hours.
Oh.
Actually, took me 13 straight hours. I mean, I stopped 4 times for gas, but, you know.
I hope you went wee-wee, too.
Was she worth it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good.
You know, I got, I got, you know, I got a 5-year-old who's playing in his and I get to see his game tonight, which I'm really excited about. And I'll be on the sidelines though. But you know, it's
nice. 5 year old. You can play football that young? Nice.
Wow,
that's cool.
That brother's team lost 7-6.
And
well, tell him what position does he play?
He plays center midfielder.
Wait,
center mid. Oh, so it's soccer.
Soccer, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a real sport. Sorry, let's move on.
Hey, he's 5 years old. Okay, you know.
I've lost interest.
he'll be talking to people soon enough, so
okay,
don't worry
good.
About it.
You make sure of that.
I will. You guys have a great day, and go Pats.
All right, Jim. Thanks for calling. Texas.
Oh, I was getting all excited.
I thought he was playing football at five. Well, I was thinking Texas, you know.
Right.
He's not out of the realm.
Right out of the womb. Put a, is a helmet fit?
I think he could be 7 here. I think it's the...
Yeah. They shouldn't play tackle until 8th grade.
I know, but it would be funny. Imagine a bunch of 5-year-olds with helmets on running into
each other. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Ken writes in.
Flanders?
No, he's in Florida. And he says, CBS sports columnist Mike Freeman says that Randy Moss was dogging it on Roots when he knew the ball wasn't going his way. After watching, this is Freeman talking, after watching Moss against Atlanta on Sunday, two things became clear. Moss is the most physically gifted receiver in the NFL, but quite possibly he remains one of the laziest. Oh, he calls Moss an unbelievable dog. I'll admit that I was more focused on where the ball was going, or at least supposed to go, rather than paying attention to how Moss ran some of his routes when he wasn't targeted by Brady. Did you guys see anything that would support Freeman's analysis, or is this just some muckraking on the part of CBS Sports?
Muckraking.
Absolute muckraking.
I treat this like I treat the Tom Brady not stepping into his throws. I'll go get you from Randy Moss's record-breaking season clips of him, quote-unquote, dogging it or not hustling, and he had one of the greatest seasons a wide receiver has ever had. That is part of what you get with any great receiver, in my mind, and Moss. But I think that, what's his name? Mike Freeman?
Mike Freeman.
Mike Freeman from
is that a pen
CBS?
Name?
No.
For Michael Felger, once called Randy Moss an unbelievable dog?
Could be.
No. He used to work for the Globe. But why don't you EEI exchange with Belichick yesterday about on that topic?
Well, that's a good Paul.
Can we start referring to those as the Patriots.com Patriots Friday exchange since it's on our website?
It's Patriots Monday.
On Monday, I mean.
Yeah.
It's on our website. Send people to our website.
You can listen to what Bill
Belichick
interview.
They can get the archive,
interview.
Right?
Yeah, sure. It's all up on Patriots.com.
It's all about traffic, Fred.
You're true. That's true. Anyway,
true.
They had Bill Belichick on, and they obviously had read this article by Freeman. So I guess last year this subject came up again, and Belichick explained, and he did it again yesterday, that on some routes, the role for Moss is not to go full out. It's kind of to lull the guy to sleep, to kind of take him out of the play completely, and that's part of his role. But he also went on to say that Randy Moss was one of the game ball recipients on Sunday. He had a lot of great blocks, a lot of plays where he dragged his guy away from the play, and was involved in a lot of things when he wasn't catching the ball and got the game ball. So, yeah, I do think it's muckraking by Freeman. I think it's an
he's a clown.
Well, it's an example of someone really not understanding what he's seeing. And that's what makes football a little bit more difficult to write about
than baseball,
than other sports, let's say.
Fred and Belichick really beating that. Baseball's easy.
No, there's a lot more moving parts that go into each play in football than other sports. Let's just face it.
I agree with all of the stuff with Moss and Andy's point about I could rattle off 50 examples from 07 when he caught 23 touchdowns. So I was like, wow, Moss took that play off. The only part I don't really buy, and I can't imagine that Bill really buys it, is that he honestly designs plays that Randy just doesn't try to lull the guy into. I mean, there's got to be another way that you can act as a decoy on a play than not trying, than not going out for a route. And I have seen him do that many times.
Well, he certainly did it when he was in Minnesota a couple times.
He's done it consistently here.
He's done it.
He's good. Don't worry about it.
He's great. He's not good. He's great.
And he's done more to start this. First of all, he's done caught more balls than he ever has over three games.
He's on track
but
to break his own
he's
career
done
record.
More dirty work, I'll call it. Stuff he doesn't really want to do.
No question.
Going over the middle, catching short passes, screens.
And that's why he got the game ball on Sunday, by the way.
Wes Welker.
He was Wes Welker.
He was a possession receiver.
He doesn't
want to
do
line.
That.
He wants to run deep, put his hand, like he did on the fourth down play. He wants to run by a guy, put his hand up, and catch it in stride. That's what he wants to do. And he hasn't done that. And I give him credit for being a team player and doing what's been asked of him for 3 weeks with Welker.
And by the way, all by himself, because the rest of the receiving corps that's been healthy with Wes out seemingly doesn't know what they're doing.
What do we make of Galloway? I mean, is this really just simply him not getting in on the same page as Brady and still learning the system? I'm also seeing some physical errors.
Oh, he's dropped balls.
I mean, but, not
see,
only
but
that,
I think it's
mental.
I think that when you're not, everything is that much harder when you're not sure
right.
where you're
thinking.
Going. He's been a colossal bust, and he has been since day one of training camp. I was really high on what he did in minicamp. You know, they're not doing anything. They're running around catching passes, but they're not, you know, the installation really isn't there yet.
Yeah.
Now, when you're putting all the defense and the adjustments and the sight adjustments and the blitz reads and the hot routes and all that stuff, he doesn't know where he's going.
Well,
and clearly, listen, after 10 years of watching Brady, I know it's the receiver's fault when something like that happens.
Right.
Especially when it's a new receiver.
You know, and, you know, you're in the back of the end zone. A veteran needs to know, I got to give myself a little cushion. I can't get too close to that end line because as soon as they do.
Explain that, because you talked about that upstairs, and I thought you made a good point about Brady. It's like people are fixating on the fact that he thought the end zone was 9 yards, you know, whatever, it was a yard too short. That doesn't have anything
doesn't
to do
matter.
With it. If he was at midfield and caught that ball, Brady probably wouldn't be happy with the way he ran the route.
Because Brady's pissed about the yard. Sure, it cost him points, but regardless of where the yard is, the idea of this offense is you need to be exactly where you're supposed to be. You know the old thing, if you're running a 7 yard out, I don't want you at 7.5 or 6.75. I want you at 7 yards. And he just doesn't seem to be able to get that. You mentioned the play over the middle of the field
right.
where it was so overthrown, you wonder what's going
on
there.
I assumed it was Brady's fault, but when I looked at it again, it was definitely a design play where he kind of just trots out there and sets himself up in the soft part of the zone. And I don't think he was deep enough, because in order for Brady to make that play, he's got to throw over
right.
the defense. And I don't think that he's set up deep enough. Now, I'm just guessing.
Right.
But he's also had dropped ball. He had a drop ball near the goal line.
Yep.
He just – it's just not there. It's not right. And clearly with both he and then Aiken looks like gave up on a route, and Brady kind of went ballistic coming off the field. There's a lot of frustration there. And I said – you mentioned body language last week. We're getting to that point where it's like 06 again, and it's
right.
Gabriel and Caldwell, and then, you know, Gaffney joined later, where everybody was, Tom's mad, and is it his fault? You know, remember when people were actually questioning whether it was Tom? You know, is he off?
Yeah.
Is he not making good throws? Can we move past that and say, when the receivers know what they're doing, Brady will be fine, and we give the benefit of the doubt to the three-time Super Bowl MVP, regardless of knee injury?
Yeah, and that's not to suggest
you,
that
Tom.
Brady has been on target with every throw.
No.
He hasn't been. He's missed guys that have been open at times. He clearly is a little bit rusty. But I just think that when you see him overshoot a guy badly, and it's an Aiken or an Edelman or a Galloway, I'm going to guess that Brady wasn't off. I mean, there was one that he had to Watson deep down a seam, I think. Maybe it was the I think it was Atlanta.
This game?
Yeah. And then he went right back to Watson like the next play, I think, and ended up getting the big play down to the goal line. That was a bad throw. The first one was a bad throw. He had him open. He floated it.
But everybody has physical mistakes.
Exactly.
And I think if Aiken had continued his route and the ball hits him in the hands and goes right through it, Tom would have said, he's Sam Aiken. He's a special teamer. There's a reason he's a special teamer. He would go back to him, I think, just like he's always gone back to Ben Watson. But I think the greater sin is not dropping a ball. It's not being where you're supposed to be, because right. anybody can have a physical mistake. Brady has his share. He's never going to complete 100% of the passes. But we spend 6 months with a playbook, with a passing camp, with a partial contact training camp, with a full contact preseason, and you still can't get to where you're supposed to get?
And that's right. the frustrating part it's got to be for Tom with Galloway,
yeah.
because it's not from a lack of reps. We saw them in training camp
right.
working Moss, Welker, and Galloway, those three with Tom, as everybody else. The other 75 players are on the other field doing something. And those three are on a field all by themselves working on things as far back as what? August 10th?
And there's been
and
no payoff. None.
Yeah, none. Nothing.
I mean, if you remember, Baker not only had the good preseason game, but he did the same thing with Tom. Went off and they had their little day of let's work on adjustments and everything. And then you come out this week and they have a play that they drew up on the sideline.
How about that?
And he
Bill,
makes an
Bill
adjustment
supposedly drew that
on
up
the
in
play,
the
and you hear Brady rave about it afterwards. And, I mean, he's certainly not got as many reps in the passing game as Galloway has.
No.
Galloway was anointed a starter from day one. He was part of the mix. He was Moss, Welker, and Galloway. And yet I'm not sure he's ever earned that spot. He's never shown that he's ready or capable of filling that role.
Yeah, and listen,
but there's nothing you can do about it.
It doesn't look like there's an end in sight, but I don't think they can afford to do anything.
I mean, you're already paying him. and you got no one else on the roster.
Who are you going to bring somebody in who now has to start from scratch?
Well, everybody likes to point to Nunn, our guy
Nunn,
that
but,
we love.
You know, and listen, the PFW. This is one of PFW's guys. We have these guys every year, and Terrence Nunn is one of PFW's guys. But do we really honestly think that he's going to go out there and represent a significant upgrade over Joey Galloway
right.
at this point?
At this point,
but at some point it could reach the point where Brady says, if Nunn can be there, put Nunn there. He might not be as fast. He may not catch as many of them. He might not be as dynamic. But if he's going to be where I tell him to be, he's better than Galloway.
And, you know, he's wearing the number 10, and who's the guy?
Gaffney.
I think he could probably replicate that role.
I'd really love it if, you know, and it probably won't be this game, if the Patriots could get some type of lead where they can do some things and just say, okay, look, this series, Joey, it's just going to be you. Let's just see if you can do what we tell you to do. You know, and just work him in a game.
It looked like they had a little of that going early in the Jets game.
Yeah.
He ended up with 5 catches that day, and I think like 3 of them came in rapid succession. And I almost was thinking that, like, this Brady must be really going out of his way. I've got to get this guy involved. I got to get him comfortable.
He said that after the first game.
And then all of a sudden there were, you know, some miscues. It was a drop, a bad drop over the middle. You know, the deep ball that they misconnected on. And all of a sudden, that was it for Joey Galloway. I mean, yeah. He wasn't where he was supposed to be enough times that Brady said, I can't afford to lose a game here. I got to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the answer is other than, you know,
and we've seen
Wes
this
Welker
before.
Needs to get healthy.
There's guys that just don't get it. I mean,
Donald Hayes was one of them.
Doug
Gabriel. I mean,
and then there's
guys,
Jabbar Gaffney, that get it, that come in, and all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, everybody's saying, wow, he built such a quick rapport. He's a playmaker for them. They have confidence in him. So we've seen cases of both, and so it wouldn't be out of the question to bring somebody in like a Gaffney who's, you know, there's always that guy out there out of football we didn't know, and then all of a sudden he's on the Patriots, and you say, wow, he's better than Galloway.
Hey, is it Warren that got us lunch today? Warren from London got us lunch today. Thank you, Warren.
Thank you, Warren. See you next month.
He says, thanks for your help today, Brian. Order placed somehow. They were not 100% sure of the process, which I find a bit strange.
I do, too.
Yeah.
How much business have we sent their way, and they can't get
a lot.
It right? Christ's
sake.
Are they the Joey Galloway of food places?
And I'd like, Doc, have them send the brownies and the cookies. Forget about the fried dough.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
I think the fried dough was shipped from the UK today.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, Paul, Fred, Andy, and Eric. Eric's off today, though. Hope you enjoy the food. I'm sure you will. Brian did a great job helping me. The food is on behalf of myself and all the UKPatriots.com fans.
Woo-hoo.
It's a great show, and you will have a great time in London, except Eric. Look forward to seeing you in London. I'll also be at the next game, and if possible, I would love a small tour next Monday. I don't know about that.
Fred, do you hook him up on that?
My question is, will it be Maroney's last season?
Yes.
I can't see them keeping him, but like us all, we hope he gets it one day.
What was that, your Maroney thing? 12 or 1,300? But how many yards was he going to run for?
This year?
1,200, yeah. Something like that.
Still plenty of time, Paul. Plenty of time.
So Greg Lewis, 50 catches.
Well, you know what?
Lawrence Maroney.
Eight. And what's Bill
yards.
Saying right now? I wish I had Greg Lewis.
Eight.
Be winning ball games.
I'm not so sure he's saying that.
I'm sure he is. We've heard that. It was a tough decision.
It is what it is.
Speaking of fans,
it was a numbers game. We had to have Brett Lockett on the roster.
Speaking of fan club stuff, I do want to pass this information along to
Chris Gokong?
Those people who are going out to the Denver game. Barry Insiong.
you called him Chris last week, too.
Chris?
I finally got you.
No, there's a Chris Porter.
And Chris, I thought you were talking about Chris Gokong.
No, Barry Insiong is organizing something for the Denver game through the Patriots Tailgate Club. I'll read his email. The closest that the Pats come to the West Coast this season is Denver, which is a game that many of us are going to be. So on behalf of the Patriots Tailgate Club, I want to invite everyone out and let you know of what we're going to have this weekend. So if you are going to Denver, listen closely because I'm going to be giving out some phone numbers and stuff like that here.
Okay, I'll
ready?
Be there. I'm going.
Get your pen. I'll give you 2 seconds to get your pen. Okay. Now you get your pad ready? Okay. Now, on the Friday before the game, they've arranged for a tour of Invesco Field at 1 o'clock.
Will Josh McDaniels be giving the tour?
I don't know. But you can pay either Barry or call the Colorado Sports Hall of Fame office and pay directly 720-258-3888. 720-258-3888. That's to pay for the tour of Invesco Field. Then on Saturday night before the game, from 6 to 8 o'clock at the poorhouse.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
This is a Barry will be collecting $10 per person for an appetizer buffet.
Thanks, Fred.
In reserved area. Please pay ASAP since I need to make sure we have the minimum headcount to get the reserved area. If we come up short, we'll still meet up there as scheduled, but it will be much more informal, and we won't be able to run some of the activities or get some of the special guests that we were planning. I'll be raising the price after next week, so pay now and save a few bucks.
Fred, can you send that along for us?
So here, the check should be mailed to Barry Inciong, I-N-C-I-O-N-G, 105 Oxford, Irvine, California, 92612.
Okay.
Okay? That's for the Saturday night thing. And all this, again, you can go to the Patriots Tailgate Club on F-Core on Patriots.com. And then Sunday, they're going to have a tailgate at Invesco Field in the parking lot. It's being organized by a local club called Pikes Peak Patriots. You need to pay in advance. It's $25, which gets you food and drink. So email Ann at, and here's her email address, amns1@aol.com. amns1@aol.com to confirm availability and get the payment address. So you can go to all these things. You can go to the Patriots tailgate site on F-Core, or they have sports.groups.yahoo.com/group/PatsTG. Easier to go to F-Core.
What is F-Core?
On don't be site? Jealous that I've been trying online with babes all day.
F-Core.
Fan community.
fan club official registry.
Doc, did you get that? I asked, what is F-Core? And you said that's
on the website. It's on the website.
His answer was F-Core.
It's the fan club official registry.
By the way, Doc, you were out.
On PDC?
Yes,
on PDC.
PDC proper. You were out earlier and your phone rang, so I answered it. I took a message for you. Want to know who called?
Sure.
A band called, said they gave you some song to use after touchdowns. They actually want it back because they thought it'd be played more.
Oh! He was waiting for 3 weeks to get that one in, by the way.
I don't coach the football team. I just play the music.
And who sings that?
It's called Living on a Prayer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I still don't understand why we can't talk about this. Because 68,000 people.
Ready. Yeah, what's the deal with that?
There are 68,000 people who hear it every week.
Well, let's be
pay
honest.
Pay grades above mine.
They don't hear it very often. And they don't hear it very often these days.
I mean, is it really a secret at this point?
As far as the people who give me the permission to say what it is say, yes, it is.
Who's and that? Who's that? Names. I want names.
Do me a favor names. And never let the people that need to give you permission know that I've already written that on SPFW numerous times.
It's fine.
I didn't know it was a secret. On account of we blare it from the loudspeakers during training camp.
Right. Well,
it's pretty distinctive who it is.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to know who it is.
Especially when the guy's on midfield with the head coach.
I just got the first negative criticism
of the
song.
What?
Have you had
have you had any positive ones?
A lot of positive.
Yeah, I think it's a good song.
I think it's catchy. It's way better than what we were using last year.
It's a good song.
I like
song.
It. Now, what is it? Our house is a very, very, very fine house.
Now, is this permanent? Are we keeping this as the touchdown song?
Yes.
Forever.
No, for 2009.
Or until he diddles a little boy.
Changes his mind.
What? Isn't that why we got rid of the other guy?
What's that now? Let's see. Webradio at page.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Andy, you going to be wearing a tie today for the show?
I brought my tie, Fred.
That's right.
I cannot
wear it.
You
don't have to wear your sleeveless undershirt.
That's right. Now
white sleeveless undershirt.
Now, you can wear your tie around your head. I don't care where you wear it, but you have to wear one.
Can I wear it anywhere?
You can be like Charlie Steiner on that ESPN
commercial.
As long
as it's on camera.
Follow me to freedom.
Right. That was
so
a great
wrong.
One.
Tie
was
it around
so
my schlong.
Greg Rogers.
What did you just say?
What did he say?
I was so wrong.
I was not so wrong, by the way. Midway through the third quarter, I thought I was feeling pretty good. Especially when they just scored a touchdown to go ahead
17-16. Paul gave me the nod at 3-3.
And Paul was wrong.
I gave you the nod at 0-3.
Yeah. The nod came when the 38-yard line when Mike Smith decided it was time to stop playing football and call it a day and just punt?
That's officially, you're right.
Mike Smith looked up to the press box and said, that's it, boys, and gave us the nod.
When it was officially over is when the Falcons punted from inside the Patriots 40 down 16-10, I believe.
Yes, after getting a touchdown taken off the board.
It may
previously.
Have been. Yeah, no, it was at, after 16-10. But I did, Fred, have a very good feeling the way the game was unfolding. I knew there was no way possible that Atlanta was going to stop the Patriots on any possession that they needed to stop them. I knew the Patriots were going to be able to score as many points as they needed to score in that game. It was evident from the way they were defending the Patriots from the first series on. They didn't have the horses to put any pressure on the passer, and they would have had to devote too much to expose them. I don't think their secondary was good enough to get away with that.
And that brings me to...
It was 3-3, literally.
I'm very positive about the defense. I think they've played well. I think they've done as much as they can. They're getting better, all that. But when you have Hall of Famers, let them make a play. If Terrell Owens is a Hall of Famer, give him a chance. I don't care if it's too deep or what. I saw the... other teams have been, the Patriots are trying to take that away. Well, we'll call that a day and not try that. Even Bill said it. We've doubled Tony Gonzalez a lot in the past, and he's caught a lot of balls on us while doubled.
Right.
Throw to him. He's a Hall of Famer.
This one,
he makes
plays.
He's elite.
This game, I would strongly agree with Andy's opinion. At least against Buffalo, I still would rather see them take a few shots with T.O. if I'm a Bills fan. But at least in Dick Geron's defense, in Buffalo's defense that day, they moved the ball.
Right.
They were moving the ball up and down the field in other ways.
Right.
Atlanta, all of a sudden in the second half, couldn't move the ball, and they only threw the ball to Gonzalez once.
I mean, how many touchdowns would Randy Moss have had if Tom Brady had said, oh, there's two guys near him, I'm not throwing
it.
I can't throw it.
Right?
Playmakers make plays. I mean, let them make plays.
Some of his best plays are with two guys on.
Two, three?
Half
the CBS scene in there has like pictures of him with dolphins around him.
The whole game, they only threw the ball to Gonzalez twice.
Yeah.
And
once was
batted down at the line of scrimmage.
Brandon McGowan, you're now afraid of?
One of them was batted down at the line of scrimmage by Vince Wilfork and returned for a touchdown by Sean Springs.
Yeah.
That was the single worst officiating call I've ever seen in an NFL game, I'm telling you.
Alberto Tomba helped out the
The ball was thrown from the backfield, a seven-step drop. It was thrown to the line of scrimmage, knocked down, and then picked up and returned for a touchdown.
And it was overturned because... The passer's
arm was going forward.
Oh, and by the way,
he released the ball to throw it.
When you throw the ball, usually your arm is going forward.
And by the way, the Patriots won't be credited with a timeout on it. They even got that part wrong.
But that was terrible.
See, I know.
I don't go quite as far as Paul says. This man should never officiate a game in the league.
I think
again.
It was that embarrassing of a call that you should really be questioned as to how that could happen.
He messed up. Like, it wasn't...
And here's the
thing. You fire a guy when he's on the take and makes that call.
Right. Why do you got to take everything so literal?
Should
this
he run
like
the
my
Wildcat, too?
Why do you got to be so literal all the time?
Because you said probably...
It was probably the worst call I've ever
seen. This guy should never... He should never work in this league again.
I cannot believe...
Andy never does that.
No,
yeah,
I don't.
He never overreacts.
Right.
But anyway...
If we have time later, we might want to get into that argument that involved me saying, they call it a pooch punt. Dog lovers everywhere are mad.
I just... You know, people look at that stuff and they say, well, it didn't matter. They got the call right. But it did matter.
Right.
Atlanta wasted a challenge on that play.
Yeah.
You know, and then later in the game, in the third quarter, there were two really, I thought, questionable plays. And I don't know for sure because I didn't go in the Atlanta locker room and ask Mike Smith about it. But I think there was a third down conversion to Randy Moss on the sideline that I think he would have liked to have challenged.
Right.
The defensive back, I think it was Chris Houston, immediately get up and was – calling for Smith to challenge it, then he challenged something later.
Right, and even if you want to look at it from the Patriots' point of view, I read somewhere where somebody said it was even bad for the Patriots because it kind of stopped the defensive momentum that they had, you know. So
which the batted pass?
Yeah, that batted pass call. You know, they stopped the flow of the game at that point. So
there was nothing bad about that for the Patriots.
Well,
it allowed them to get their defense set for a big fourth down play is what it did.
The only thing that I found funny about that play was Mike Smith, who's getting hosed like nobody's ever been hosed by a referee, is laughing while challenging. And Bill Belichick,
was upset.
Who was borderline getting the recipient of the biggest gift in the history of the game, is at midfield going ballistic.
Yeah, this is where you just be quiet.
Right.
Let's hope it happens.
Instead,
X-nay
on the ag flame.
He's absolutely berating the entire officiating crew because no one. I want an explanation. No one's telling me what's going on.
Oh,
unbelievable. It was surreal. When I saw Sean Springs is running down the field and I'm watching
and
the
referee. And there's no whistle.
You know what my theory is? He went to yell at the refs because he said, I know you guys are on our side, but you can't make it so goddamn obvious.
This elicited Andy's line during the game. Refs don't count against the salary cap, do they?
I blogged it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Then the play happened. And
that
everybody
was
like, oh, I see what he's saying.
Right.
That's a bad call.
Springs running that 50 yards, and I'm watching the referee run with him, which tells you that because we can't hear a whistle from the press box. You know, you can't hear that. But you see the referee running with him, so you know this play's live.
Yeah.
And then he gets to the end zone, and the guy's arms go up. And it was like, you know, we used to like say they should just give the Patriots touchdowns. And we
right.
say,
they did.
Right. They did. It was unbelievable.
And there was a delay. After the ball was batted, there was
everyone stopped.
A one count where everybody did nothing,
And then everybody must have realized, hey, there was no whistle.
The ball landed at Jarvis Green's feet.
Right.
And he didn't even bend. I mean, that's like high school. Anytime the ball's on the ground, somebody on defense immediately picks it up. That's how blatant it was for everybody except for that referee.
He just must not have been looking. Somehow, must have been, I don't know, elsewhere.
Yeah, he might have thought it. I don't know why the ref wouldn't
be. I don't know
something.
Why the referee wouldn't be looking at the quarterback. I mean, that's all his responsibility.
Yeah, I don't know, but maybe he blinked. Remember, Paul, when I looked down once when I was on the base pass, got picked off. Maybe his shoe was loose. He looked down for a second. He looks up. The ball's loose.
Greg from Atlanta, by way of Easton, Mass. When do you think Lawrence Maroney's experience will end? Yesterday, he did more Dancing with the Stars in the ABC show, and then, oh wow, hurt again. Also, I am a fan of Galloway, but it's clear he is hurting the team. Brady did throw a few bad ones. However, shouldn't Galloway know where the end zone is? From Brady's reaction on the bench, Tom thought he should have known. Yeah, I would agree. And Peter King, who usually doesn't write anything definitive, said that he thought Joey Galloway is
How
killing
dumb
this
is
offense.
Peter King?
Well, I think
that's about as definitive a statement
on
as he's ever made.
On his portion of the plays, he's killing the offense.
I think that he is, and I think that
I'm not going to blame all of it on him.
It's magnified because Welker is out, and they don't have any options.
Right.
The only option right now that you can really go to in the passing game is Randy Moss.
I would really like to see Aiken get involved because I really think he can do things with the ball.
Why?
But that,
because
why
he's a big guy and he's fast.
So is Ben Watson.
You know? So I'd like to see what Aiken can do.
But two teams have decided he's a special teams ace. That's what they decided. I don't think they're
this
dumb.
This just got handed to me by Doc.
I thought your email worked.
It's a report from Tom Curran.
Tom E. Curran.
And the headline
Adrian
is, Will Height hurt groin running from men? More. I figured it would be Andy that would laugh first. Anyway.
Wait, I can't believe we haven't even talked about that yet.
Yeah, the story, more details on what exactly occurred Sunday in the strange case of the New England Patriots cornerback Jonathan Wilhite have emerged. And just because the situation is more clear doesn't mean it's any less strange. Wilhite, according to police in North Attleboro, Mass., pulled his groin while running to a nearby convenience store after seeing two men in the parking lot of his residence. Wilhite was a last-minute scratch from New England's game against Atlanta. On Monday, speculation was that Wilhite may have been a victim of a home invasion, but North Attleboro Police Lieutenant David Dawes told the Boston Herald, "This is not a home invasion." According to the police report, two men were in his parking lot when he arrived home, and that one of them approached Wilhite and yelled. Wilhite took off. Unclear at this point is whether the incident occurred in broad daylight Sunday morning or in the wee hours after midnight. Given the two recent incidents at the homes of Buffalo Bills players, perhaps Wilhite was being extra vigilant. Better safe than sorry, although his groin may feel differently about that, says Tom Curran.
That report added information and more questions.
Well, it does, but here's the thing where he may have been coming home, you know, even though it was the morning. As we talked about this morning, the guys, even on a home game, stay together in a hotel
right.
the night before. So there is a chance, like, between getting out of the hotel and coming to the game, he went back to his house.
Right.
And it just seems like...
But he also poses the possibility of late night.
He must live in an apartment building.
Sounds right? Because, like
it. Yeah, some kind of a condo or townhouse type deal.
But it begs you to wonder, I mean, he just saw two guys, they yelled something.
They yelled
and
at
ran,
him.
Like,
yeah, there's something up.
What's going on there?
Like they were after him for something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's still more to come.
You don't just see two guys and all of a sudden it turns into you running to some place to call the cops.
Yeah, this could be one of those things, though, we never hear another thing about it.
I'm sure there are a lot of people involved trying to make sure that's the case.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was strange.
But that's why Wilhite missed the game, by the way, on Sunday.
Yeah, Wilhite was a healthy scratch.
No.
Or we didn't know if he was a healthy scratch, but he wasn't on the injury report all week. All of a sudden he turned up as an inactive for the game, and we didn't know why. Now it turns out he had something going on.
Was injured earlier in the day, Bill Belichick said.
Yep.
To an intrepid reporter postgame.
So he hurt his groin.
Who pooped himself.
Who looked like a deer in headlights.
Why didn't anybody else ask?
Flora Smith.
I just asked about second half adjustments, Andy.
That's what you do, Paul.
I was right about the defense.
Flora
Why do I need to know why Will Hite wasn't there?
But why didn't any other reporter need to know why Will Hite wasn't there?
It's stunning.
Weren't there notebooks in other papers? Was PFW the only notebook that
it's
covered
the game? It's
stunning
to me that question wasn't asked.
I know.
That, you know, as usual, we have to make friends, and PFW had to be the ones to ask why Jonathan
isn't that
White
Andy's
was
luck? A guy misses a game, I ask why, and he's involved in some, like, men right. chasing him through a parking lot.
I told you upstairs it had to be a legal issue.
But he's not necessarily in the wrong.
I didn't say
there's
he was
no
in
assumption
the,
there.
I didn't say he was in the wrong.
Imagine that, that you pull your groin running from two men in a parking lot.
No, I think I said that, Andy.
You didn't.
And he must have been running pretty fast, too, huh?
Well, he's pretty fast.
No, I mean, to pull the groin.
I may have slipped. Maybe there's some sand.
You could have slipped, yeah.
Pretty sure I could pull a hammy, and I wouldn't be going very fast.
Well, I think there's a difference between you and
the two men would have caught you. Thanks. You would have never got to the phone. They would have beat the snot out of you.
Did you guys see that?
Paul would have never gotten up from the couch.
Did you see that Junior Seau got run over
yes.
by a bull?
Tremendous.
I saw that. Yeah.
Strippers sent
I'm
me the video.
I'm surprised he's not hurt. He got right up.
Well, he did a good job of getting low.
Yeah.
Like, under the bull went over the top, kind of.
Yeah, but...
I replied to strippers, there was no flag on the play. The bull simply overpowered the play. Because he really... he was having fun right up until the point he realized, uh-oh.
And you can hear the crowd go, oh!
The defender was just overpowered.
He was overpowered by a bull and went down.
Yeah.
Why... I need a little background, though. Why was Junior Seau running around taunting a bull?
It was just some promotion, probably.
Why would Junior Seau agree to run around and taunt a bull?
I don't know. They probably said, don't worry, Junior. It's
not like the
safe.
Texas mascot that's got like chains on it. It was a bull running around free.
Well, you've heard the running of the bulls in Spain that they do every year.
Well, when you guys were talking about it, that's where I thought you were.
No, this was
at a rodeo
thing. You could see other clowns involved. And he's like mocking it, taunting. And then all of a sudden the bull just starts going at him. Like, what did you think was going to happen? You taunted a bull. They make the...
I don't know.
In lists of bad ideas, that's got to be pretty high.
That's up there.
Floris Smits is from Rotterdam in the Netherlands. And I don't know if Floris is a... gentleman or a woman. But the person writes in, hello, Fred and the guys. I'm a longtime listener back from the Patriots video news days.
Wow.
I've never emailed before, but I couldn't resist to email this time because I would like to thank Fred for his new great service, Curse Words. It's a great service for people who would like to follow the game but live abroad and don't get every Patriots game on TV. Now I'm even able to follow games on my iPhone when traveling on a train and don't miss a beat. Keep up the good work. Second, I want to thank all of you for the great entertainment you provided me over the years. I mostly listen to you guys via podcast on my iPhone when I travel. I can't count the many times when I laughed out loud and got surprise looks from other people on the same train. So maintain the great vibe this show is generating. And so I also have a question regarding the Patriots offense. Is it only me, or do you agree that we should regret that Bill kept Galloway as our third receiver? Besides Welker's injury, I think he's killing this offense. Seeing Greg Lewis catch that great TD at Minnesota Sunday, wouldn't it been better that we kept him and cut Galloway?
Well, we did miss Bob Lobel's late night.
Maybe.
Why don't we get players like that, or why don't we get guys like that? I'm not ready to give up on Galloway because you know how quickly...
I'm not either.
I haven't
given up on Maroney. I'm certainly not giving up on Galloway.
But the one against the Jets... If there's two of those in the next 2 weeks and they get completed, glad we waited a little while for Galloway to get the offense.
Yeah, I am.
If he hits a couple big plays, it'll all be forgotten.
I am grossly disappointed in Galloway. I just, you know, Andy and I have disagreed about this off the air. I just don't see the huge Greg Lewis support. I mean, he now has one catch for 32 yards and a touchdown.
Right. Every dog has his day.
He played four plays.
When's Galloway going to have his?
He played in four plays that game. He's the fifth receiver for the Vikings. I can't sugarcoat it. Galloway's been a tremendous disappointment. I just don't think there would be much difference if Greg Lewis were the guy here. He may have more catches, but I don't think he would have more
substantial plays than Galloway. I think it was a difficult choice because I remember talking to someone at the time of the cuts, and I guess Belichick, it was a tough decision for him. He liked Greg Lewis, but it was a numbers game, you know. So
the only problem I have with it is I think they're dangerously thin at receiver. We all know that. And they have Matthew Slater, but supposedly Lewis was a pretty good gunner, a pretty good special teamer guy.
Well, that's a good
point. So with what you get out of Lewis, couldn't you have kept him? And okay, maybe he's not quite as good as Slater.
But we just assume that Slater was gone.
Right.
You know.
And he's good. He gets down there. I'm not going to lie, but other guys couldn't. Your coverage hasn't been that great as it is, even though you kept the great guy. The
coverage has been leaky.
So I just...
And it's right up the middle, too. It's not
I mean, especially on kicks. The punts haven't been too bad, and I guess that's probably more of what Slater's doing. But I agree with you, Andy. And you look at it, too. They knew that Welker was banged up.
Right.
because he missed the whole preseason. It's not like he just got hurt in the first game.
Yeah.
So they had to know there was at least a chance they were going to be without Welker at times early in the year, and then they get rid of a, you know, an NFL receiver. I mean, as little as I thought of Greg Lewis, he's an NFL receiver. Julian Edelman wasn't at the time. Now, maybe he's going to be, but it was just, it's strange to me that they rather had Brett Lockett and Matthew Slater, you know, just special teams guys rather than
and
Lewis.
Wasn't this posed last week by some of our emailers? In the old days, sure, you could keep just special teamers when you had good players, like you had more studs in other areas. Now maybe you don't have those guys. You need other guys that can actually contribute on offense and defense as well as in the kicking game. So the roster makeup has gotten a lot of criticism this year.
Because I think they're dangerously thin, as you put it, with wide receiver at a couple of different spots. I think linebacker, I mean, there's no Larry Izzo here. Because all the linebackers right now play defense. Eric Alexander's probably the only one who hasn't played any defense at all this year, and he may have played a little too. But, you know, Ninkovich has been out there, you know, a little bit. Pierre Woods. All the guys that play special teams as linebackers have also played on defense. They don't have any Gerard Cherries or Larry Izzo's that just play special
teams. Well, Paul, they've always used defensive starters on special teams, just so you know.
I'm aware of that. Thanks.
According to EDI Boston.
Tefra writes in. She says, I was all for going for it at the bad field position. This is the fourth and inches. My husband didn't agree at the time, but you need to take risks and put confidence in the team to pull it off. Yes, it could have turned out bad, but you mentally don't make that an option going into that play. So,
well, you need to. You need to weigh the circumstances, I think, both ways. I love going for it on fourth down. I love it. And I think Bill, I totally agree with Bill on those, because I think more often than not, you're going to get it. When it's a, you know, you make the other team make a play. It's hard to come up with stops. It's hard to get three plays to stop a team. Four plays is almost impossible. I just think at your own 25-yard line there, I thought the Patriots were in total control of the game, even though it was only a six-point game. And I think you ran the risk of, if for the third week in a row you have a short yardage breakdown, all of a sudden the other team's right back in the game. And they've done nothing. You allow them to make one play and be back in the game. I thought it was an unnecessary risk. Now, it worked out.
Right.
Great for them. They put together a long drive and, you know, really for all intents and purposes, ended the game with that drive. They took ball into the fourth quarter, got another field goal to make it 19-10, two scores, less than a quarter to go.
Game set match. Fred, just a quick question. How are these – are these people following the play-by-play? You have a lot of curse words, people that are around the world.
Yeah, we had
– are they following the play-by-play and using you as kind of an
color analyst? I'd say most of the people – well, you know what? It's hard to tell because – last week we had 4,600 people on the blog. Now, of those 4,600, probably like 20 or 30 of them are actually sending me comments. So I don't know who the other people are. But of the people sending me comments, I'd say most of them are watching on TV. You know,
this woman sounds like
yes,
she's not. You're
no, there's a lot that aren't too.
So, eyes and ears and flavor.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know about the you know the other 40.
This is interesting.
538.
Is this legal? Yeah. Paul's right. Is this legal?
No, as long as I'm not violating the spirit of the NFL, I'm not giving play-by-play. I'm commenting on plays.
So why did Mike say you were ruining it by giving away
plays? Well, I'm commenting on play. Like, I'm like, oh, that was a great block by so-and-so. Well, it hasn't happened yet. You know?
Oh, okay.
So. Who's on the phone, Doc? Steve in New Hampshire. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Great.
What's up, Steve?
Had to enjoy that one, huh?
Sure do.
I'll tell you, I had good feelings going into this game. My personal prediction was going to be like 36-20, so 26-10 I'm not bad with.
Yeah, you got the spread.
On the overall, I just kind of, like, it was one of those times. Suzanne had to work, so I'm sitting here watching the game alone, and I got the pad and paper out, and I decided to jot notes this time. And right from the get-go, I don't look at the game as to, how we're doing or how they're doing as much as I look to see how we're playing, how we're executing.
Yep.
And literally, like, right off the drive, you know, right off the bat, their first possession, first play of the game, I see Guyton totally cross the field, make a great tackle. They got the first down, but the chase down was awesome, you know. And then the next play, they had a group stop, just plug the hole. They didn't get anywhere. Right after that, I see Bodden, he blitzed from the right. He has a great shoestring tackle. I don't even think they called it that way on the game. I think they called whoever came in from the secondary. But I saw Bodden come in and make the shoestring tackle. I'm like, sweet, you know. And then, another couple of plays. Ty Warren just barely missed a nice tackle, but Merriweather got him in the backfield. Then they had a short first down, but Baudin was right on the guy. You know, if he was like a millisecond, he might have been able to, you know, make that guy drop the ball or whatever. Then I see Springs make a great shutdown. One play they got burned was Wheatley. He got caught way too deep. I think that was the only one, but I think for the rest of the game he realized, I'm not going to back off this much from these guys. Then I see Wright and Merriweather make a great play. Ty Warren makes the shoestring when we needed it at the end. And then that last coverage with Baudin and who was in the back there? McGowan. And it forced them into the field goal.
Yep.
And I bet, and I was thinking to myself, because I had these notes, and I'm going, I bet a lot of people just sat there and watched that and went, oh, Christ, they're driving right down the field on us. But I never had that feeling. I was watching each guy play, and I'm going, everybody's in the game, and they're all making the right plays. Granted, they're going to get first downs. Granted, these things happen, not a big deal. But the big thing was we shut them down to a field goal. And I looked at that, and I went, I'm good with this game. This defense, they're all playing. They're all in the game. I just thought it was sweet the way it started. I really did. I'm good for this game, right? And then for us to come out, that quick pass out to Morris, and then the best play of the game to me, honestly, was that very next play, and it was a play action fake, but then Edelman came around, the wide receiver, like a reversal type thing, and he made the fake, and I thought it was flawless. I thought Edelman had the ball. Then I see Tom step forward, and he ended up overthrowing Galloway, but I went, all right, that was a play of the game for me. I just love that play. It didn't work, but, I'm going. So I liked what I saw right out of the gate, what we put on them for pressure, and I'm going, this is going to be a great game.
That's good, Steve. I think you missed a play in the first quarter, though.
No, he didn't. No, he actually got all of them? He got every one of them.
Did I?
Every one. That was the entire play-by-play from the first quarter.
Excellent. And it was, but don't you think that was spectacular? Everybody was involved.
No, it was a great team
defense.
Good team defense.
This team's going to have to play team defense because they have yet to show the ability to make plays. Yep. And that's where I think that comes in.
That's amazing.
All right. I'm not quite as high on the.
No, the second half, I thought, was tackle, all those wonderful things happened.
Downfield. I think nowhere did you see a better commentary on leading tackler than Curtis Lofton's 19 tackles, whatever it was. While they were giving up 169
yards rushing.
They
were on the field for 83 plays. I mean,
so
that's what happened.
That's kind of how that's going to work.
Patriots offense won the game. The defense really, I thought, salted it away in the fourth quarter, the third quarter and the fourth quarter with the 3-3 and outs to close out the game. It was a great team win.
Yep. Good enough. That should be the name of this defense, good enough. The good enough defense of 2009. All right.
Well, I just wanted to throw my 2 cents in there. That was
well done.
I enjoyed that, and I expect I kind of found
that was
funny.
More like $1.50, but that's all right.
Inflation.
I thought it was a good game, but
yes,
I think it's funny how.
Oh, see. All right, you need to speak.
We were late for the break.
Oh, the 1:31.
Oh, it's the 1:31.
Okay, well, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the View of football. It's just four guys having lunch.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in a shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots Banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots Banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters. Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level. Yeah, I'm not seeing it. Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box. So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year? Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
Can you read some of the twits? Tweets?
What?
Why is it that you almost never... Unbelievable.
Oh, God.
You're an embarrassment.
Please, I didn't
just
say
go.
That.
Just go.
I didn't say that.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress.
I missed it. What did I say?
I don't know.
Twitter.
Oh.
Web radio at patriots.com. The email address, 508-543-7482 is
what?
The phone number.
You know why?
Dee from Michigan writes in. She says, I just downloaded the desk site. Extremely cool. It's easy to use and so far has taken me everywhere I've tried to access. Congratulations on the organization taking yet another successful step forward.
Can you describe it? Beyond the HD video capability,
no, so
what does it do?
You go and you download this thing.
Just
so
not here.
It sits on your desktop, and it's like a little player. And on the left-hand side are all these channels. One channel's for Patriots Today, press conferences.
Us?
What?
Is there any for
yep,
us?
Yeah, well, I'll get to that. There's all these video channels, and you check, you click on it, and the videos are play high def. Then there's another tab that says radio. You click on that, you go into the radio section, you click on it, it's whatever we're streaming at the time, 24 hours a day. And you get the lineup so you know what you're listening to. And then there's some other features of it, too. But mainly it's so that, you know, now, like if you're traveling, you're on a plane, you can watch Patriots Today without being connected to the internet. So it's pretty cool.
What?
Because
it's automatically
downloading
it while you're not really even
exactly.
Doing it?
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's why we're not.
Yeah. And you tell it, you can set how much video you want to allow your computer to hold for you. You know, so like if you don't have a big computer, you can say, oh, I only want 2 gigs.
So it's like your iPod auto-updating, basically.
Yes, exactly.
I like it.
Yep.
You guys might as well be talking another language.
Well, you know, I'm pretty technologically advanced.
You are.
Compared to the stone that is you.
Well, you know what's weird about you, though, is every once in a while there's something that I've been doing for 10 years that you don't know about. And it really stuns me.
That's why I'm stuck in 6-point font on my computer for everything.
I'm not sure that's 6.
Brad is out in Maryland.
That's what she said.
He says, a lot of office smack talk going on already. Hope we see the same defensive effort and a better passing attack on Sunday. Major kudos to Fred for the live glog during the game. It's a lifesaver for those of us living outside of New England. Keep it up. Can't help wondering why Galloway is considered such an upgrade over Terrence Nunn. I know the preseason and practices are not equal to game experience, but we have a case of a guy hungry to catch everything and impress everyone versus a guy who thinks Brady should adjust to his route rather than the other way around. How long till Bill gives the kid a shot?
Well, I don't think we're calling, I mean, upgrade is not the word. Nunn never had a chance and then got upgraded for Galloway. I mean, Nunn is a guy that has never done a damn thing in the National Football League, ever.
Why are we making the assumption that Joey Galloway expects Tom Brady to adjust to him? When all Galloway has said is, I'm having a tough time and I'm working hard to try to pick up the system, and it continues to be a work in progress for me. I mean, where has Galloway said, I think Brady should be adjusting to me?
Yeah, I don't get the vibe he's not trying or being stubborn.
Just the opposite.
I just think maybe, however, was it 13 years? He's been, it might be the you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Maybe he's just not. He's trying. His body just won't do. You know what I mean?
Like
he's just stuck in his ways.
Last week, I wrote a story about the offense, you know, kind of being a little bit frustrated. Moss talking about it, Brady talking about it. And Andy, in the locker room, I said I was going to try to get Galloway that day. And Galloway hasn't been in the locker room every day. And the Boston Globe ended up putting a request in for him and talked to him by himself. And I was waiting for the Globe, and then he immediately went out when he was done. I was kind of anticipating Galloway being a little defensive. But when I read the quotes that were in that story, it was anything but. It was all putting it on himself. He doesn't expect Tom Brady to adjust to him. He knows he needs to figure out where he needs to be in this offense. I agree with Andy. Terrence Nunn is a PFW favorite, no question. But we have seen nothing to indicate that he can play at an NFL level. We don't have any idea what he could do. Now, maybe he gets activated this week and contributes. I don't know. Maybe Bill will decide to pull the plug on Joey Galloway.
We'll see Terrence Nunn this year. I'm pretty sure.
I think
sure
we
of
will.
That. Now, what we'll see, I'm not so sure.
No clue.
Yep.
Nunn.
Zach from Florida says, Mike Martz talked about Brady a while ago, and I keep forgetting to bring this up. He said that from the injury that Brady got, he would be always cautious about his knee, so he wouldn't step into his throws like he should, and the ball would sail on him. That's why Brady is a little inaccurate right now, but he'll get it. He'll get through it, just a matter of time.
Blah, blah.
So that's Mike Martz knows.
Mike Martz knows
what
so
the hell's
much.
Going
why,
on.
Why is he not in the league?
He should have been working on special teams while he was a head coach.
What?
He was the guy that admitted, maybe I should spend a little bit more time focusing on special teams.
How come when he says something we want to believe, it's, you know, he's
because he's
great
never said
analyst.
Anything we want to believe. He's a fool.
I'm not a huge Mike Martz fan.
I agree, he's a fool, but we only call him a fool when he's criticizing something.
This is we call him a fool because he says foolish things, period.
That's well said.
Let's see. Ooh, they're showing the
it is a great
Greg
catch.
Lewis catch.
It's a great catch by Lewis.
I mean, the guy was right there, the San Francisco defender.
Wow.
I mean,
he just... Mike Singletary might want to. He wasn't right there. If he was right there, he wouldn't have caught the ball.
If he was in perfect position, he would have made the
freaking
play.
Brett Favre, though, huh? Unbelievable. I mean, you got to, I guess, give him credit, but.
Yes, you do.
I'm still waiting for him to fall.
Oh,
and
that's good. That'll happen.
Yeah,
he's not going to hold up for 16 games.
I can't see it.
People forget that they were 8-3 last year, and people were talking about
that's
him.
That's right.
As
they
an
were
MVP.
Talking about the Subway Super Bowl. Remember
they were
that?
Talking about him as the MVP.
Right. Yeah.
And then look what happened.
Remember that Bledsoe year?
He fell apart.
99 was it?
Or, yeah. 99. They were 6-2, and he was great. And then they were 2-6.
He was the
and
league MVP through halfway of the season.
Right, and he sucked in the second half.
He had like four. He was averaging, I think, 4 touchdowns a game or something like that.
He had a very good start. I don't remember what the numbers were, but
yo, you remember?
I don't.
Oh,
he had 32 touchdowns.
You might have him tattooed on your ass.
No, he probably didn't even have 15.
Right. I didn't think it would, but it was probably like 16-3 or something. Not a lot of picks.
Yeah, he didn't have any picks, and then all of a sudden it was the opposite in the second half.
Those Seattle uniforms are nice.
I can't believe you like these. Those
you
are
like
putrid.
The Seattle uniforms?
Yeah.
Oh, they look
those
like some
great.
Type something out of Lego.
All right, email.
All right, Brian De Los Santos writes in. Hey guys, in the conspicuously absent Squidward, just some quick questions for the day. With all the problems we've been having with our depth at wide receiver, how do you guys feel about the release of Greg Lewis? We've talked about that already. The catch he made to win the game in Minnesota was pretty solid. I think he could have been a good option to take some pressure off of Moss while Welker bounces back. Also, why the hell do we keep trading for players that we end up releasing?
Well, that was a conditional seventh, so I'm guessing it's no seventh. The condition would be
he had to play.
Right. So you didn't trade anything. You just got a week to work with him before anybody else could get a chance.
And I did get confirmation, by the way, on the whole vested veteran thing. Once you're on the roster for week one.
Right.
Mick from Ireland, I'm sure I'm the same as a lot of Patriots fans after the Falcons game, wondering why Tom Brady, QB of the New England Patriots, missed on quite a few of his passes. But in the end of the day, he is rusty, and it's about timing for him and his receivers. Like, the part of the game I'm most worried about is our lack of pass rush, because near the end of the game, when they knew they had to pass, we still couldn't lay a finger on Matt Ryan. How do we fix this, or is there anything we can do about it? Also, did you feel like we showed the Atlanta receivers too much respect?
No. I think the Atlanta receivers are very good. I don't think we showed them too much. I think the secondary did a solid job.
Assuming that Will Hyde is fine at whatever point, this groin injury or whatever it is.
Right.
And from what we've seen from Lee Bodden and Sean Springs, do you think we'll reach the point where they will be a little bit more aggressive? They'll feel they have the ability to blitz and send some people and leave those guys a little netless back
probably
there.
And I think that it, coupled with that, let's put a few more games like Sundays under your belt where the secondary shows that they can hold up a little bit, and then I'm sure Bill will feel a little bit more comfortable doing things. Hell,
I'd like to see McGowan blitz with his closing ferocity, I'll call it. I'm intrigued by him.
Yeah, the pass rush hasn't been
plays out for
the
Jimmy.
Pass rush hasn't been great, no question, but I also think there's been an element of game plan in that where they haven't necessarily gone after the last 2 weeks. They haven't really gone after the passer, and they've decided to drop in coverage. That doesn't mean that you're, you know, it's like Atlanta. Well, they don't go after the quarterback. That doesn't give John Abraham the day off. He needs to get there.
I still get back to the Derek Burgess.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
You need to get
his
there.
His game plan says play with right tackle, stay with him at all times, never get past him.
You need to get there. And there are times where, you know, they didn't have any real pressure on Ryan at all in that game.
No.
A couple times, he ran out of the pocket,
oh, yeah,
ran to the side.
They were all designed.
They were sprint-out passes, the old high school sprint-out pass.
And they were ill-conceived designs, too, because there was no need to get out of the
pocket.
You
know why? You know who designed them? Mike Mularkey.
Mike Mularkey. Same guy who had Drew run a naked bootleg.
Exactly.
Fourth and one.
Talk about overthinking things.
Chris from Stamford, Connecticut. Couple comments about Bill Belichick's press conferences. Watching yesterday's, it drove me nuts when questions got asked that I knew he wouldn't answer. The one that took the cake was, is Fred Taylor still capable of carrying the load of the feature back, or is he past his prime in that regard? Now, Belichick knows when he's getting set up, and considering that he would never say, nah, we figure Fred's going to crap out by week 9, he knew the reporter was looking for a positive answer about Fred. I assume this was Garigian, and lo and behold, she's got a column on Taylor today. When you PFW writers ask questions, you do so with forethought, because you know what Belichick will and will not respond to. That's why the question about Wilfork's injury provided a funny pause, because everyone knew that the answer would, or non-answer would be. Do you ever wish you had an easier interview as a coach, no disrespect to past coaches, but maybe someone who got pumped and jacked? Or do you like the challenge reward that Belichick can sometimes provide? Great stuff. I'm bedridden with a cold, or couch-ridden at this time of day, and look forward to the show. So what do you like better?
Do I wish he was a better quote sometimes? Sure. Be more fun.
I certainly don't wish that we had Pete Carroll, because he was a terrible quote.
No.
But
yeah, it is what it is.
I mean,
can you believe it? It's football time.
The other thing.
Should have been spotting his player.
Just, there's one thing about that I think it's kind of misunderstood, and that is just because we know what the answers are to certain questions doesn't mean that we shouldn't ask them. And Will Fork needed to be asked about yesterday, even though, listen, the person who asked the question knew full well that Bill wasn't going to answer it.
You have to
But you have to ask the question.
Yeah.
You can't write a story the next day saying, nobody asked Bill Belichick about Vince Wilfork's status, but here it is.
There have been times in the past, it's rare, but there have been times where Bill wanted to get some information out, and he was waiting for someone to ask a certain question, one that he wouldn't usually answer, but he had a reason why on that day he wanted to get some information out there, and you never know when that is. So you have to ask.
Well, you always have to ask pertinent injury-related questions.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
You know, the day-to-day stuff. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking if you have any concerns about Fred Taylor being able to hold up over a whole season. I don't think that's a bad question. Do you guys think that's a bad question?
I do.
Well, see,
I don't think
were it asked that way, I don't think it would have been. I think the way it was asked is what Chris is talking about. It didn't lead to. I think you could. I think people asked early in the year.
Here's what I would
about 30-year-old backs and how much.
If this is how I was doing it, Do you have plans to monitor Fred Taylor given his, you know, time of service and his, you
same
know,
thing to me.
It is the same thing, but
it's not to Bill.
It's not to
but
Bill.
But the answer will be the same.
See,
to
I'm
both
not
questions.
Sure it will be. I'm not sure it will be.
Here's the thing about Bill. You can be as clever as you want with the question. He's going to tell you what he wants to tell you. He's not going to tell you something he doesn't want to say.
True.
Not
he's
that he doesn't want to say.
You're not going to trick him.
He's way too smart.
Right.
But I don't give him – I don't think he only has one thing to say either. I think he has multiple things he could and would be willing to say, and he's going to say it based on the
but
question.
But I do think that Chris makes a good point. You know what he's not going to answer. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for some information, maybe you're instead of going for that exact piece of information that you know he's not going to answer – look for something that kind of skirts that you know, but think about it.
Well, it depends what you're talking about. If you're talking about Wilfork's injury, you have to ask specifically about Wilfork's injury. Yeah. If you're just writing a Fred Taylor story and about how he may be used down the line, then, yeah, I think you need to formulate the question in a way that you're going to get some sort of answer. There's two different stories and
right.
news levels
right.
there.
I mean, you know.
I actually think that was one of the best answers that Bill gave in that press conference yesterday to that
one?
Fred Taylor question. Carried the mail pretty well yesterday.
He did.
I like that. I mean, yeah. As a reporter,
yeah,
that's gold to me.
Yeah,
that's much better than the four paragraphs worth of nothing that you normally get
yeah.
when you craft your question specifically.
But he had a pretty good day yesterday.
I thought he had a very good day yesterday.
Averse to having a featured running back.
I was there
like when Corey Dillon had 1,600 yards.
He actually walked off the podium with a big smile on his face. Like I
that was a good one.
Yeah. So
he's pretty proud of himself sometimes.
Yeah, he does have that look on his face. Like yeah.
He's got the leaping Lenny Poffo pat on the back.
That was a good one.
Jan from Australia, I hope all is well at the Patriots headquarters. Great game on the weekend. Fred, your blog was excellent. I just have a few comments and questions. First, I don't think the Patriots are back because, in my opinion, I truly believe that the Falcons were not themselves. I don't want to take anything away from our D, but our offense was still off. Now, I'm not saying they were terrible, but they left a lot of points on the field. And if this was a good defense instead of an undersized one, I really don't see us winning the game. What do you guys think? And keep up the great work. And, Fred, every time I send an email that had P.S. at the end, you failed to read that part. I want to know, is it the hard to go down? Eric, don't get excited. She said, Eric, don't get excited. And finish the entire thing. Nothing but love for you, Fred. Again, Eric, keep your pants on. There's no PS here. All right. So I guess that's it. Jan from Australia.
I don't think Atlanta played a really strong game. I think that especially the combination, the two plays I think were the key to the game, with a Michael Turner fumble at the 27 when they were going in to make it 17-10 at the end of the half. Instead, they found themselves down 13-10 at the half. And then following that, their first possession of the second half, they go right down the field and score, and it got overturned. But from that point on, Atlanta looked like a different team. And they looked like what Andy said, a young team that wasn't quite sure it was capable of winning this game.
Yeah.
And I think that in that regard, I think they were disappointing. But give the Patriots credit for making them think like that.
And I think the Patriots defense gained confidence as they went
on. Of course
they did. You saw Ryan holding on to the ball a little bit longer in the second half. That could be because the Patriots were just a little bit better in reading what the routes were.
I thought the Patriots defense was night and day, first half to second half. I thought they were excellent in the second half.
Yeah.
How about the offense?
The offense I thought was good all game.
As we start to turn forward, though, is the passing game good enough? Fred, you brought up the secondary for Baltimore. It's unlikely you're going to run for 169 yards against the Baltimore front and control the line.
You're going to have to throw the
40
ball.
Minutes of time of possession.
Yep.
Is the passing game back enough to – they're going to get pressured, and they're going to have to make some plays through the air.
No, hey, we said that the Falcons were a good test. I think this is even a better team.
And in a different way.
This is a better team,
The matchups are more favorable for the Patriots against the Falcons than they are against the Ravens.
Yeah, I think this is a better team, the Ravens.
Now, if this passing game were where it's supposed to be, I might feel differently. But to me, there's some current concerns how this offense matches up against that defense.
The only thing is Baltimore is having a really hard time pressuring the passer. And that seems to be the best way to disrupt the Patriots' rhythm right now is to get after Brady. They haven't been able to do that very much.
They have six sacks, I think, on the year. Yeah, not a lot.
Oh, I thought you meant Sunday.
On the year, they have six.
I'm sort of dismissing the Cleveland game because they're in utter disarray right now.
They also had four picks in that game and haven't played all that well.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of interceptions.
Their secondary has been weak. Yeah. I mean, flat out weak. They have Dominic Foxworth as one of their starting quarterbacks and Fabian Washington as the other.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a team that had Chris McAllister and Samari Roll.
Instead,
that's a big-time drop-off.
Right.
You know, they still have Ed Reed. They still have, I think it's DeJuan Landry is the other safety. And they still have those mammoth defensive tackles right. with Kelly Gregg
Ngadi.
And Haloti Ngata.
Yeah.
But I just. Yeah, John Ngadi.
Ngadi.
I think it's still a good team. Terrell Suggs, I think, you know, is capable of getting after them. Trevor Price has been very quiet for them.
For a while now, like a year and a half.
Yeah, it's been, I didn't even look it up last game. Did he get any sacks last game?
How's the other inside?
He has like
back
one and a half sacks in his last 10 games.
How's the guy next to Ray Lewis inside?
Well, Jarrett, they've been playing 4-3 for the most part. I mean, personnel-wise.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's a 3-4 in, you know. Yeah. Kind of like the way the Patriots are. Sometimes they're playing 4-3, but it really doesn't look like a 4-3.
They're always multiple. Remember when Ozzie Newsome called me out at the combine because I said, you guys bounce between 3-4 and 4-3, and you're looking 3-4. Yeah. Are we really? What do we run now?
Right.
And I was like,
I don't know. Jarrett Johnson, I think, is his name. Yeah. He's an outside. He's the weak side backer who has a great reputation as a run stopper. He's been a little banged up. He's had a shoulder problem. But he and Lewis has been outstanding. Suggs on the other side.
Yeah, Lewis is.
I mean, it's amazing.
He's revived his career.
It's amazing that you can shoot.
We thought he was
better.
Slowing down 2 years ago.
15th
and now
season, 14, 13, whatever it is.
But yeah. Andy's right.
He's found the foundation.
The matchups
in
might
Florida.
Be,
you know, Rodney had it for a while.
The matchups with Baltimore are different than they are with Atlanta. It's because, you know, Atlanta has the great receivers. I think Jenkins, and I think they came as average. I thought Jenkins had a really good game. White clearly was dangerous, even though they held him in check. And then, Gonzalez.
Kelly Washington is the leading receiver for the Ravens.
Yeah. Tied for the leading receiver.
Oh, so. He had a big game.
Mason
then, huh?
is.
Derek Mason.
They both have, I believe, 12 catches.
Mason and Clayton are their starting receivers, and they've been running the ball very effectively with McGahee and Rice kind of splitting that. Right?
Well, that's what I think is interesting.
It's a solid
they have
team.
And Flacco is thrown for like 250 right. or more.
They have two running backs who are virtually identical, and they have two receivers who are virtually identical, Washington being the other. They are pretty balanced.
No, they are. We'll get to that a lot tomorrow. Aviard in Longmeadow writes in, I just heard you state that Galloway is more talented than Nunn. By what assessment do you currently make this claim? All Nunn did from camp onward was make plays, some fairly impressive ones too. Can you name a play that Galloway has made that was even above average, camp, preseason, or in the first three games? Time to promote Nunn off the practice squad and see what he's got. I think it's based on a career. Not just so far. That's
not just what he
in
does
August.
Against. Not what he does against the Bingo Long traveling All Stars in the preseason.
Is that a real name?
You never heard of the Bingo Long traveling All Stars or Motor Kings?
What is Motor Kings?
You're so young. It was a movie. Billy Dee Williams softball team. Joey Galloway has 6,000 yard seasons. Two other 900-plus yard seasons, 77 career touchdowns. That's what we're saying, that Joey Galloway has more talent than Terrence Nunn. I understand it's what are you doing now and what have you done lately.
Who knows? Nunn 10 years from now.
But also, in 2 years,
Let's pull off Nunn a little bit. Yes. We loved him more than anybody. And I remember at some point camp going, okay, he's starting to look like a rookie free agent. It wasn't lights out, can't be stopped, perfect for him in the preseason and training camp. So let's not pretend that it's perfection waiting on the practice squad.
Yeah, and listen, Terrence Nunn may develop into a quality NFL receiver, but I'm just judging on what we know right now as fact. Fact is, he played college ball at Nebraska, a Big 12 program that's a fairly highly reputable one, had success there, and yet no team even offered him an invitation to camp, let alone get drafted.
Right.
He didn't get drafted, but a lot of guys go undrafted. Not a lot of guys that had productive college careers at the Division I-A level do not get invited to camp as wide receivers. Every camp has 8, 9, 10 receivers in it. He couldn't get to one.
Remember Rob Milanese? He was here, and Terrence Nunn wasn't.
Okay, that's what we're basing it on. Yeah. I was very impressed with him during the summer. I think he did all you could ask for, but he wasn't asked to do it against the other teams won.
Right. And keep in mind what I said last week when I saw him leave the locker room with a huge bag of ice and his knee wrapped. If he's dealing with anything, you're going to wait till that's healed. You're not going to bring him up if he's, the possibility that he's going to be limited or automatically on the injury report. So it's not quite time yet. The time will come. He will be on the roster. Don't worry.
Frank, Andy said it earlier, too, and just to repeat what he just finished with. Terrence Nunn, more than likely, will be part of the team at some point.
Yeah.
Especially if this Welker problem persists throughout the season, which I am really starting to fear about. I talked about that last week.
Frank from Old Hickory, Tennessee, formerly of Stoneham, Mass. Enjoy the show. Couple of questions. What's PFW TV? I saw it on the desk site, which, by the way, everyone should download, and I'm new to that. Are you familiar with the new website studyofsports.com? I cover the Titans for them. I'm no pro writer, but is there any chance you guys could check it out and give me an opinion?
Sure.
Probably not. someone also mentioned that the Pats stay in a hotel, even for home games. Could you elaborate a little on what the week is like for the team, especially on a home game week?
They stay at a hotel the night before home games.
What do you, I mean?
Yeah, I mean, they'll have a Saturday walkthrough.
Right.
And then they all convene. And it's just a way to kind of keep them together the night before the game. You could say to keep them out of trouble. But it didn't work.
They also have meetings and all that stuff,
right,
too. And it's, I think home game, away game is the exact same.
They like to keep
except
it the same.
Except when we don't travel.
You check in and it becomes a business trip from that point at the hotel, whether it's the hotels in St. Louis or the hotels in Massachusetts. It's a business trip from there on out until you finish the game.
Right.
Unless you stop off at home, find two people in the parking lot, and have to run for your life.
Right. James is from Pittsburgh is complaining about the calls being too long. One guy calls with a defensive breakdown of the first quarter. cut some of these calls short to move the show along. Don't get me wrong. I usually like the callers as they add flavor to the show. But the last caller, come on. I was checking emails, old Facebook page pictures, just about anything to look into a couple internet porn sites just to keep me online until the caller's rambling was over.
Strippers can hook you up.
You want to hear my
– Oh, by the way, strippers
is 40
today.
You want to hear my favorite caller?
He's 40?
Yeah, Strippers is 40 today. Happy birthday,
Strippers. Happy birthday, Strippers.
Lord only knows
what
his 40th
birthday is like. What's his party like today? Huh?
I bet it involves a bottle of Viagra.
Not a drunken debauchery.
Wow.
And he'll, I don't need Viagra. I'm an 18-year-old hot girl in front of me. I'm fine.
I did it.
All right, John.
You want to hear my favorite caller before you get to John?
Okay, go ahead.
Mom, I'm on a conference call. Do not pick up. Use your cell phone.
That's actually a reporter on a conference call with Bill Belichick. But
oh god,
you want to replay, John?
Bleep.
John Rook's here, and that means only one
His
thing.
His mic's not on. I can't hear him.
John Rook's here, and that means only one thing. His mother kicked him out of the house today.
Yes, that's true.
Oh no,
Mom! No, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow,
the
radio
other thing
show.
Is, the other thing is that you have a show going on at 2 o'clock. Patriots
yes,
playbook.
Absolutely.
So what's going on, John?
Should we mention that? Let's see now. Once again, this last week. We were right. Andy was wrong.
Right. That's
you
correct.
Were lucky you were right.
Incorrectly
right.
assessing the outcome of the game.
That's right.
If Alberto Tomba hadn't been in your back pocket, you might have been wrong.
See, you saying that has a lot of credibility because you did pick the Jets game correctly.
I did.
Right. And then
you saying it has
you
not.
Didn't jump off the bridge and assume that they weren't going to bounce back. You picked this game correctly as well.
I'd like to think so, you know. Every once in a while, you know, blind squirrel does find a nut.
I think John was in the majority. I think John had hit it right on the head.
As far as last week?
Yeah. I think a lot of people felt the Patriots would bounce back, especially offensively, against an undersized
Atlanta team. I would say, though, that most people, I'll bet, that picked them to lose to the Jets also picked them to lose to the Falcons.
Really?
I don't think so.
As far as I know, Andy and Mike Reese were the only two that picked the Jets to... I mean,
no, but
Mike
Andy,
Reese was the only one
right,
picking
but
to lose
Andy,
to the Jets.
Andy picked... no, there were a lot of Jets pickers.
No, there were.
Andy picked the Patriots over the Jets.
Your problem?
Yeah. What's my problem,
Paul?
Is
you live in an alternate universe.
Yeah, okay.
You're like Rodney Harrison. You make up your own offenders.
You do.
It just pops up into your head. Oh, he said that.
All right.
So what is this now? Any early thoughts about Baltimore and what they're going to present?
We're thinking that they're
I'm
a better team than the
Tough
Falcons.
Matchup.
Oh, I'm a little worried about Baltimore.
I'm worried.
Can't run the ball. That's
a
problem.
I am concerned.
Is this passing game ready to challenge that secondary?
Yeah.
We just better hope that a little bit more of that rust has come off of Tom Brady.
But if I'm a Baltimore fan, I'm worried too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm worried that
my
defense can't stop Brady.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
that's
I don't
why
know,
it's a good game.
As improved as their offense
game.
Is, I don't know if they're prepared to get in a shootout, especially on the road.
This
so
is very true.
If I'm Baltimore, yes, I'm very
You got a Patriots defense that doesn't give up more than 17 points in a game.
That seems to be the
although I'm going to continue to predict that to happen.
Yes, that is correct.
All right. John, you got anything going on?
Nothing special, other than the fact that we'll sort of
spesh.
Yeah, spesh.
Eric's not here, so you have to fill that role on the show.
Oh.
Brian Lowe will be here.
Oh, he'll do that
in the second hour of the program. Yes, and we've got a ton of emails I'm sure to get to, and some early thoughts on the Baltimore matchup as we also mentioned. So
very good.
I'll leave you hanging
were
with
you
that one, Fred.
Were you happy with Matt Ryan? His homecoming. How do you think he played?
You know, I thought he was adequate, but I think you can clearly see. He's got a tremendous amount of talent. He has grown so much as a quarterback over the course of the last, you know, probably 6 years that I've known him or so. It's amazing. He has great pocket presence. I think he has very good command of the offense. He has everybody's attention. There's no question who's in control out there. I also thought he was very smart. Even though the Patriots never sacked him, they put on enough pressure to flush him out of the pocket, and he was smart enough to throw the ball away and not get into any trouble. But credit the Patriots defense for forcing him to do that. He just didn't take any chances.
But he's young. I mean,
he's still young, and he'll
first
develop
month,
a little
second
bit.
Season.
Right, absolutely. Right. But you can see that. I think the Falcons have a clear key.
So you're on. Sean Springs said he's from the same mold as Manning and Brady.
He is.
Are you?
I'm on that train. Okay. I think he's going to be the next great.
The train to Canton
as a quarterback.
Okay. Train to Canton.
He's got a chance. He's got a chance. The problem with that is, I think you realize, is that a lot of that is predicated on how your team does. Mm-hmm. And Atlanta is still probably two or three quality individuals away defensively from being what I think would be a Super Bowl team.
All right.
He's number one. Joe Flacco, I think, is 1A in that little list, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him.
Agreed. Week. Agreed.
Okay, so the next 2 hours, the voice of the Patriots will suck up to the opponents. And we'll be back tomorrow at noon.